This is PFW in Progress.
Here's a nice piece of shit.
PFW in Progress.
Get poop again!
He called the shit poop!
This is the best night of my life.
With Red Kirsch.
Shut up!
Paul Perillo.
Where's my snack pack?
You've got a banana. You don't need no snack pack.
You know I like snack pack. Why can't you just give me a snack pack?
And Andy. And Andy?
Whoa. The part of the story I don't like is that the little boy gave up looking for Happy after an hour. That little boy's got to think. You got a pet. You got a responsibility.
Andy Hart.
If your dog is lost, you don't look for an hour and then call it quits. You get your ass out there and you find that dog.
Some guy named Tom.
I am the smartest man alive!
And you never know, Rory might stop by.
Oh, I want to touch the hiney.
PFW in Progress.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
And we're back. Welcome to PFW in Progress. Eric the Leg Scalavino sitting in here in the host chair today. It's a huge day. Huge day on this show. A lot going on in the NFL later on today, at least.
I can tell by the tone of your voice.
Can't you, though? Head writer Tom. Head, what's your silly title?
Well, Richard? Right now it's PFW draft expert, but normally it's staff writer.
Not only does he give himself his own nicknames, he gives himself his own work title.
I'd go senior staff writer.
Oh, that makes him sound old, and he's got a big head, so head staff writer would suffice, I guess.
Soon
and that voice you hear,
director of communications for another company.
That other voice you hear laughing over there is,
speaking of head,
assistant editor Andy Hart, back from his
anal probing.
Yes, how did that go?
It was good.
You liked it? You enjoyed it?
Unlike you, I did not enjoy it. I would not do it every Friday night like you do it.
Uh-huh.
But no, I honestly, the guy goes, I'm going to give you something, and that's the last thing I remember. And then an hour and a half, 2 hours later, I was at breakfast.
Uh-huh.
So it's how you get your dates in bed, the same thing.
Yeah, see?
Well, I'm going to give you something to loosen
up. It was
a
really quiet
bit.
Week on this show last week. And behind the glass producing today is Mini Gary, Daniel Twogender.
Also known as the human tomato. Apparently fell asleep in a
carrot.
Tanning booth.
Because our regular producer Gary is malingering today.
I don't know what that means, but I think he's sick.
That means he's calling out sick, but we tend to doubt that he's actually sick.
The course is open yet?
What's that?
The golf course is open yet?
Oh, maybe. It's
the
a
bigger
nice
question is, are we on the air? It looks like we're having a small crisis behind the glass.
Boy, yeah. That kid's stupid.
That sunburned face doesn't look happy right now.
The other crisis we have is we don't have lunch, and we were told on the last show, last Thursday, that we were set with lunch all the way through the draft.
Yeah.
I wasn't here, but you guys told me that, and I came down
Gary
with
said it.
Yep.
Quite a bit of
because we had an emailer who generously wrote in and said, hey, are you guys set for lunch on Tuesday or Thursday of next week? And I said, Gary, are we? And he said, well, we're set through the draft.
You're going to recount the whole conversation here?
I said, Gary, are we?
You're going to get to that preseason schedule, are you?
Hey, guys, we finally have dates and times
for that. Anyone want to talk about the preseason schedule, be sure to email or call in.
No, but we do have the actual schedule to talk about soon. We don't have it in our hands yet, but it's coming out no later than 2 o'clock today.
And we have a bet going.
Yep.
Yes.
Andy,
I took the Dolphins in the home
opener.
I
have the Jets, and Paul has the Bills.
And we're all assuming that Mr. Kraft got what he wanted and got
the
a 1 o'clock.
Right. 1 o'clock.
Our dark
Sunday.
Horse is the Rams.
Dark horse is the Rams.
It'll be the Cardinals because that could be an intriguing later in the season kind of interdivision matchup.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
So we're going AFC East with the dark horse being the Rams, a team with the Patriots can pound the living hell out of.
The theory there is a terrible defense that, and the NFL wants the Patriots and Brady and Moss to start out on a good, you put the Rams out there and just
say,
that's
feast. Assuming if Brady ever gets here.
That's true.
He's busy walking dogs and getting mail.
See, I have no idea how to keep up with him because now there were reports that he was here this weekend for the Dan Copen wedding.
No one knows what he's
in
doing.
Rhode Island.
Yes.
But he's being hounded by the paparazzi. Mm-hmm. He's, doing anything Giselle apparently tells him to. She may or may not be wearing a rock on her finger, and which may
she's
or may not
she's wearing one if
there.
She wants to wear one.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Depends on whether or not she wants to get married.
So, yeah, but it, I mean, we're now into, and we talked about this in the office a little bit. The fourth,
this is the
week
fourth
of
week.
The off-season program,
right. And no,
and we're led to believe by these paparazzi type sources that he hasn't really been here, and that is not a good sign.
Yeah,
in my
being
opinion.
At Dan Copen's wedding doesn't count.
Right,
I'm talking about
being here, in the program.
Yeah, his 4 days doing his workouts.
It's interesting you mention that because you know for the past few years,
this isn't going to be pretty. By the way, when people start emailing in and we're ripping Brady.
Oh no, we're not. Ripping
Ripping.
But
well, I'm kind of ripping.
No,
him. I am.
The point is. Does Brady need to be here lifting weights? Probably not. But as a team leader, if other people are here, shouldn't you be? You know what I mean?
And it's what's always been sold.
Super Bowl.
It's what's always been sold to us. You know, Randy Moss comes here and says, well, you know, Tom Brady is as big a star as there is, and he's always in there working out.
Right.
So how could I not work
right.
out? That's the whole supposed mentality.
And here. I think that's how championship teams are built, because once the first domino starts to fall, then, like you said, maybe a Moss says, well, Brady's not. You know what I mean? It's kind of a ripple effect all the way down.
It can ripple good and bad. And
it's
been
kinda,
good for a while.
It's kind of like the day Lawrence Maroney was fooling around in the locker room when Brady went over with a stern look on his face, whispered something, and Maroney said, all right, guys, I got to go. I mean, he's the leader. So I think you have to keep that.
And food has arrived.
And
good
holy
job.
Crap,
you
there's
a
job,
lot
Daniel.
Of it. You won't be hearing from me for the next 2 minutes.
Nice. Pizza and everything.
$70.
Wow.
We have great listeners. We have tremendous listeners. Hopefully they want to talk about South Park, too, because
they
I understand
will.
You guys last week tried to broach the topic, and there wasn't a lot of fan interest.
It was very surprising. But funny that, you know, I know that fans have heard before, Brady has mentioned the parking space.
Yes.
Which, if anyone out there doesn't know, what the Patriots do in the offseason program is they give out awards for, at each position, the player who, for lack of a better term, but they perform the best in the offseason program, or they reach certain objectives, and they basically had the best offseason program at that position.
Oh, no, it's not position. There's just a certain number of them, I believe.
I thought there were a few by position.
Because it's just based on participation and improvement and work in the off-season program.
Oh, okay. Well, there's about a half dozen or so of those parking spaces, and they're in the front row at Gillette Stadium on the players' and coaches' side. And for the last, I don't know, I think for as long as Brady's been here, he's had that front row parking space, one of them. And he mentions it all the time and references the fact that, you know, he was here all off-season working out and, you know, hey, proof positive, I got that front row space again, and you got to re-earn it every year. And, you know, if you've missed already 3 and almost a half weeks of the off-season program, you're going to have to do a lot to get that parking space.
Right,
back.
And we're not saying he's not going to get it. Because the way the program is set up, and I don't recall exactly how many weeks it is, but say it's, you know, 16 weeks. You don't actually, it's not set up that you have to work the full 16 weeks, 4 days a week. You have to, you know, it's set up so that if some guy, okay, you need to be somewhere in the first week of April, you can miss a week.
Right.
But you need to put in your full, say, 13 and a half weeks of work at some point in the 16-week program.
Right.
So we're not saying he's not going to get it. We're not saying, you know, he's suddenly changed and he's become this guy who's never going to work. And we're just saying it's a little different that a month into it, he's not here.
But if a guy is going to change, it would be for a woman. You know what I mean? Like, that's the one thing that concerns me. I'm not worried about Brady the athlete. We all know how intense he is. That doesn't worry me. What worries me is it seems like this Giselle's got her paws into him pretty good.
I like
you know?
Your boobs.
And if,
yes.
But if there's one thing that could change Brady the athlete, the competitor,
right.
It's a woman.
It's the woman.
We all do stupid things at some point in our life for a woman.
And how much attention does she need?
And I have.
For
you, it's been a man.
You know, is she demanding a lot more attention? You know what I mean? I'm not worried about him. I'm worried about her.
A lot of her effect on him.
I think, I mean, you raise a point. I mean, with, you know, he was with that other, what's her name, Bridget, for, what, 3 years or so? And didn't ever seem to have this sort of, I don't know.
She trailed him around for the most part, you know, to ring ceremonies.
Right.
And he would go to the occasional New York thing for her, whatever. But this, it just reeks of, and I think this is what the paparazzi has latched onto, him following her around the world, doing whatever she tells him to do.
Now, arguably,
fans are not going to like us talking about this for this long.
Arguably, she's more the world superstar than he is.
I don't think it's arguable. I think she's the bigger world superstar.
I mean,
she's the face of companies all over the world.
Right, and she's the highest paid model in the world? Is that right?
She made $35 million, I think, last year or something.
Yeah, they had actually Parade Magazine.
Or Euros, whatever she likes to get paid in.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, there was that, too. Forgot. Yeah, she made a declaration a few weeks ago that she didn't want to get paid in U.S. dollars anymore.
And everybody was having an uproar. I just think it's called smart business. The dollar's going through the floor.
But, I mean, this is anybody can relate to this, though. I mean, we've all kind of, you know, been probably with a girl that kind of takes your attention or your focus away from things, and you're just saying, if he's as whipped as people are saying, and we don't know, but if he is, does that take any attention away from football?
It's like that new Carrie Underwood song, All American Whatever, right?
I don't think I've heard it.
It's the star quarterback, and all of a sudden he gets a girlfriend, and he starts going to practice and starts hanging out with the girl. And
did you write that about Tony Romo?
I don't really remember. It might not even be Carrie Underwood. You know how I am with these
things. Yeah. And you did say after your surgery you started being
There's been a little amnesia. I'm a little worried about that. I've had, had some
forgetfulness.
Speaking. Not sure how that came
about. So you turned into me?
I think I became a worse me.
A worse you?
Yeah.
I don't think that's possible.
I always had trouble remembering facts. And
you're about as worse as you can be.
That didn't sound like you said that properly,
I know.
Mr.
I know. I said it on purpose.
You're about as worse as you can be.
I said it on purpose.
All right.
Funny, give out
the webradio@patriots.com is the email address.
Right.
Webradio@patriots.com. 508-543-7482, the phone number. The draft is only a week and a half away, and for the first time in I don't know how many years, Bill Belichick is going to hold a pre-draft press conference tomorrow at 11 o'clock.
3 years? I think the last two he hasn't done it. 3 years ago, I think.
Just when we thought we knew the man,
right.
He goes.
I could miss that press conference. You guys could go to that press conference, and at the end, we'd all have the same amount of knowledge.
Well, the only thing I'm going to say is, what did we talk about a ways, ways back about the number 7 pick and all if they want to trade, that they'll have to put forth some propaganda? I wonder if this is a way for them to, in some way, try to manipulate the media and put some propaganda out there to help influence potential trades. And, you know, the same way I think Bill Parcells is playing games down in Miami, negotiating and trying to break contracts, you know, force guys into.
I mean, like Bill saying something like, I mean, like Glenn Dorsey, it's, you know, you only get one of him once every 20 years, a guy like that come out.
I don't know what it's going to be, but I have the feeling they're going to be throwing something out there that they want the media to eat up.
So ridiculous.
Could be.
Because I just think it's weird to all of a sudden he's going to have one.
Yeah, I found it strange when I got that email for
the NFL called
the media
and
schedule.
Said, Bill, you haven't done a pre-draft press conference in like 6 years.
That's true.
But, yeah, so on Thursday we'll have a lot to talk about with, hopefully, with what he says. But who knows what he's going to say. I mean, you know, it's he's not going to give away any strategy. Obviously.
It is what it is.
Well, yeah, it is.
Maybe he's going to buttonhook us. Maybe he opens and says, well, there's one guy we really like. It's Vernon Golston. We're really hoping he's there at 7. If he's not, we might trade up to 5, maybe 4 to get him. Any questions?
Yeah. And there won't
that
be.
That would leave us speechless.
Yeah, because everybody would be in shock.
As we mentioned a few minutes ago, lunch has arrived.
One of the largest orders ever.
It is one of the largest orders ever. There's a couple of pizzas. There's sandwiches. There's all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're missing 500 pounds of our crew to help us eat it.
Yes, Paul Perillo is going to be making an appearance on NFL Network later on today.
But that's not where he is now.
No, not where he is now, but he's going to be later on today. He and
Fred thought they were already struggling with viewership.
Oh,
they are. It's going down even more. He and Fred are at the Patriot Hall at Patriot Place.
Right.
Candidacy meetings for Hall of Fame candidates. And
yep.
What's he going to be on?
I asked him that, and I don't think he even knows what show it is, but there's going to be some segment where they're talking about the schedule and the Patriots schedule in particular, so he's going to be a guest analyst on that. So he's got his big boy clothes on today. He's all dressed up.
He is. He's got his light blue TV shirt on.
His wrinkled pants.
Going
to have his blazer on later on today. Last time he was on the show, though, you know, they did it. I don't know what they did, but he looked in decent shape.
Wow. Magic. They must have special cameras, special effects, CGI.
They put somebody else in front of the camera?
CGI. They, you know, change some things a little
bit. Because I got to be honest, that guy's walking death. He could go at any second.
They probably airbrushed it a little.
Because Gary's not in there.
Okay, webradio@patriots.com, the email address, again, 508-543-7482, the phone number. When we get lunch, we typically like to read the email of the person who sent us lunch, but
you like to explain.
Apparently.
You know who you're like?
Who?
My wife teaches kindergarten and first grade, like in that area, and she's so used to explaining everything to her kids that when she comes home, she does it to me, and I have to say, I'm not five. I don't know what you're saying.
Yeah, but you do need explaining to sometimes.
Yeah, but more, you know, on a bigger level, not, you know, what we're having for dinner. So you don't have to just say this. Here it is. Here's the email, guy. Read it. You don't have to say
we don't have it. That's what I was setting up for, Tom. We don't have the email for the person who sent us lunch today.
And don't bring it up.
So I can't thank them yet.
We don't even know who it is at all?
I don't.
I don't know. I don't either.
Vinny Gary does.
It looked like it said Paul on the receipt.
Well, that's Paul Perillo. They always put a contact person, and Paul somehow...
Yeah, but usually it's Gary.
No, there's been Paul, and I've had my name on there before. Michelle Murphy had hers for a while. So we have a great... Are we sure this was even for us?
Well, this is for like 10, 15 people.
It is. It's enormous. But then again, they didn't know that, like you said, 500 pounds of our crew isn't here right now. So, but we'll take care of it. Don't you worry. We'll finish it off. Thank you. Thank you for the order, whoever you were.
And you know damn well that those guys are eating wherever they're at, and then they're going to come down here and eat again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure they're having a little catered meeting up in one of the clubs or the suites or something.
You want to eat my salad?
Oh, jeez. Why were you guys talking about eating salads?
Lori brought it up. Lori was on the show the other day.
She brought the most miserable show we've ever had.
I did hear that.
It
was a bad show.
She wanted to have my salad.
Although I noticed
but you're the one who eats salads.
I noticed something funny yesterday, Eric.
Yesterday?
Yeah. I walked into Lori's office, and I saw a thing on the wall where Andy had made cartoons
characters?
Of all of us. Everybody in the office except for one person.
Well, except for himself.
No.
Lori. That's true.
Made fun of everybody in the office except for Lori Baranski.
That's a good point, Tom.
Don't think I didn't catch that, Lori. I saw it.
I could always eat your salad.
She's just, I mean, it's like she does it on purpose.
You do join Dick for a little while.
I'm wondering if she does, because I'm hoping that she does. Because like you said once, Andy, those stereotypes that cheerleaders have, she's a walking billboard.
No question.
But why are you?
It's like I don't buy that Jessica Simpson was as dumb as she was on the Newlywed show. I think she played it up because she knew people would eat it up. Like the whole chicken of the sea, is it I don't buy it.
No one's that stupid.
Now, Lori, on the other hand, I don't really see what she has to gain by playing it up.
Well, certainly not a raise if you work here.
Oh, that reminds me. I have a Jenna Jameson story that I printed for you from last week, but we'll get to that later.
I thought you were going to say you had a Jenna Jameson story.
No. Why would that happen?
She runs gay websites.
She does?
Yeah.
Eric?
I'm not talking to
Tom. Can you confirm that?
I'm not talking to Tom anymore. El Gidio from Puncher Train, Louisiana. I think it's El Gidio or El Gidio. I don't know the correct pronunciation, so forgive me.
I've grown tired of you being a host, by the way.
Remember when he used to be good and we were entertained by him hosting? Now he's just pompous and annoying.
It'll be back. Don't worry. Hey, guys, I heard Paul talking about the Dolphins negotiating with Vernon Golston. And we mentioned before Vernon Golston, what sort of information Bill Belichick's going to give out tomorrow.
We'll be explaining.
Let's say the following picks happen in the draft. Number one, Golston goes to Miami. Number two, St. Louis takes Jake Long. Three, Atlanta, Glenn Dorsey. Four, the Raiders, Cedric Ellis, and the Chiefs at five, Matt Ryan. What happens from this point on? Who do the Jets take? Do they take Keith Rivers and leave the Pats high and dry for a linebacker? Then who would the Pats take? I don't think Chris Long can play linebacker, and I don't think he's that good anyway. McFadden? Doubt it. Ryan Clady? Leotis McKelvin? I'm worried that the Patriots will lose out on one of the better prospects. What do you guys think?
I think both the Jets and the Patriots would take Chris Long if he's available.
Yeah, so do I. I don't like him, but I think they would draft him.
I don't love him, and I don't think he has a great upside, but I think, as people have said, he's a pretty solid prospect. You're going to get a guy who's going to play for you for an extended period. Darren McFadden could be out of the league, as I predicted. Did I say 4 years, 5 years, whatever?
I think you said five.
4 years, 5 years. Yeah. But I think Long, worst case scenario, Chris Long is a starter in this league for the next 6 or 7 years. He might not be great, he might not be an all-pro, but he's going to play. So I don't see him being the guy that they show, like with the sweat and the red face slipping down to like 15, 16. No way.
Not going to have that Brady Quinn moment from last year.
I don't think there's any chance.
The other thing, too, the only problem I have with that is that I don't think that the Rams would take Jake Long, because not that they don't need help on the offensive line, because they certainly do, but their defense is so bad. I think when you're picking in the top two, you have to get, you have to draft a defensive playmaker. And so I would expect them to either go long, the other long, Chris Long, mm-hmm. or one of the big guys up front, just because they couldn't get to the pass rusher. They couldn't stop the run. And, you know, I think you can get some offensive linemen down the line, but those impact defensive guys that are staring at you, you know, at you at number two, I think you got to take one of those guys if
Plus,
you're the Rams.
Jake Long, I think that whole he's a right tackle starting to catch up with him. You know, and say he goes to St. Louis. Well, people are mm-hmm. expecting Orlando Pace. They mm-hmm. want their left tackle for the next 12 years, and they want Pro Bowls.
Right.
And I don't think he can live up to that.
So you don't think there's any – do you think there's a chance that, let's say, Chris Long is available at 7 when the Pats pick, that they don't pick him and they trade down, trade out of that pick?
Well, I think there's always a chance that they trade down, but I think if
– But if he's there,
if he's there, available? I think there's a pretty good chance they take him because I think he's a pretty good football player. You know, the whole Al Groh connection, the mm-hmm. system, everything. I think Bill would find a way to use him, even if he's – say he's not a perfect outside linebacker. You know, some people think, oh, he's Mike Vrabel. Well, say he's not because mm-hmm. he's been Richard Seymour. That's what he's been in college, and there's going to be a transition phase here, and I'm not sold as, on his athleticism and upside and all that, but I just think not everybody can be that wrong about him. Everybody raves about him, that he's like the surest prospect in the draft.
Well, we finally have found out who sent us lunch today. It's Ethan.
I love Ethan.
Ethan from Delaware says, hey, guys, hopefully by now the food has arrived.
It
yes,
has.
It has. Thank you.
It's already arrived in my belly, and it's on its way out the door in a few minutes.
A week without Andy in the studio, and he was going to be very cranky if there was no food here.
Went
and it looked
in
like
a hot dog and came out as orange fire water.
Yeah.
Actually, lately it's been more of a dark green fire water.
Well, we don't need to get that specific about it, but Ethan said he thought about canceling the order after Thursday's show, but figured we needed something to compel us to
do I need to go
again.
Back and listen to this show?
It wasn't as bad
as do it.
It wasn't as bad.
I got $10 that you can't go through in 2 hours.
Stop it.
Because I've heard that it's worse than Paul Perillo by
it's
himself.
Not, no, Gary said that. Awful. Gary was just being Gary.
It was awful.
Anyway, Ethan says,
I can't leave you guys alone for 1 week. You can't do a single show without me.
Ethan mentions the South Park episode, but I don't think we're going to like what he says. He says, I've decided to hate South Park's attack of Bill Belichick and the
you,
Patriots.
Then, despite the food you gave me.
It's, I'm smarter than you commentary reached millions of kids, and I've decided not to take it in good humor, in quotes. I certainly do not need
How
some...
How many five-year-olds you think are watching South Park? It's not a kid show.
Yeah.
Come on.
He said, I certainly do not need some pompous individual to tell me how I should take a situation. I think that's a little dig at me because I was
probably
telling the other day.
Yeah. But that's more of a teenager, young adult type thing.
Right.
They are
college
know
age,
what's going
college,
yet.
Early 20s, right.
If there's kids watching it, then
they
there's a lot
be.
Bigger
should,
problem.
Yes.
Their problems, their parents have problems.
As not was, at 10 o'clock at night.
Right. And as I was joking earlier, I wanted to open the show with the quote that South Park closed the show with mm-hmm. and clearly couldn't do it because I probably would be fired.
Oh.
You
well.
Know, get an AIDS thing.
Yeah, yeah. I know. What, if you've seen it, it's hilarious, but I don't know if
I mean, the
Andy
show had a
it.
Penis running around for a half hour.
I say you wouldn't get fired.
I don't know, but I don't want to try.
He goes on. I like
that F word with two G's in the middle
yeah,
and
yeah.
ends in an
well, R. Yeah.
I think that
might
sort of like the C word. That's one of those that's a bad. Yeah.
Right. Ethan says, I like the idea of PFW merchandise. I'd love
yes.
to have the PFW set of beer glasses, not to be confused with PFW beer goggles, he says. You could have each one with the photo or Eric cartoon with an appropriate tagline, Paul being the easiest with, maybe I just drink to get drunk. Fred would obviously be, are you Doug?
Gary, it's Fred. Do you know what Doug looks like?
Exactly. For Andy, only an Irish joke would do with,
oh, yeah.
You're probably drunk and not fanatic about it. Oh, I'm sorry. You're probably drunk and have a small penis, it says. Read one line too early there. With a shamrock to either side. Tom's would clearly be, I'm married, but I'm not fanatic about
yeah.
it. And finally, for Eric, it would not so much be a glass as a champagne flute with, oh, with, what would make you think I'm pompous? Good job, Ethan.
That's pretty good.
Anyway, how about some draft questions, Ethan
yes.
says. In your first mock draft, you have Keith Rivers as the first pick.
That's correct.
Yep. I admit I did not watch many USC games beyond the Rose Bowl. My girlfriend is a big Ohio State fan, so ended up watching mostly those games. He does not seem to have the ideal size.
Take it easy, Mr.
Who are you,
Brady?
Tom Brady? Grab the clicker, you. That F word I can't say.
Rhymes with maggot.
Yes.
He does not seem to have the ideal size, really, to be a full-time outside linebacker for the 3-4.
No.
I would think he'd project more to the inside.
Yes. Correct.
That being the case, do you think he'd be a better fit for the weak side or strong side linebacker position?
Well, here's the thing, and I always say this every year when we do our mock drafts. I don't know if Keith Rivers fits here, but at 7, we were trying to look at value and need.
Right.
And we couldn't put a corner at 7.
No.
And we, in our mock draft,
not even
we said,
Kaysen, who we love.
Right. But in our mock draft, we said Golston, we had off the board.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't know if they're going to take Rivers at 7. Probably not. But for our mock draft purposes, it was kind of a neat area. He's a player that's probably going to go in that top 10 range. So we took a shot. But definitely inside linebacker here, not outside.
Yeah, definitely inside. Mm-hmm. I think he would fit our little theory that Bill is trending towards more athletic, speedy, John Beeson type inside linebacker. So I think he fits that. He's got decent size.
Yeah,
he's 240 pounds.
I wanted to say something here, Andy. I think too many people are stuck with Ted Johnson in their mind.
Right.
Those days are pretty much over.
Yes.
You're not going to see
the
too
big,
many
hulky
more.
Guy who's pretty
Ted Johnson
and
was a fullback of the defense.
Right.
Like he just pounded in the middle.
You said Rivers is 240.
That's
an inside
guy.
Linebacker
right.
who can run.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the guys you want. I mean, we know the team was interested in Vilma.
Right.
We're pretty sure they were interested in Beeson.
Right.
Those guys are guys who can run. It's just those Ted Johnson days are over.
The one problem we talked about that I think he faces is the expectation because of Willis. Because Willis was drafted lower than where you'd be taking him and came in and was great.
Yeah.
Was a great rookie
and he's not
inside
as good as Willis.
And he's not as good as Willis. Probably won't have anywhere near the impact of Lewis. So he's set up from a fan's perspective and even from our perspective, you know, next November when we're talking about how Keith Rivers is fitting in, he's set up to sort of be a disappointment.
He goes on with the inside linebacker spot. After reading the paper's breakdown of possible inside linebackers, it doesn't seem to be anyone in the second round on that would really project well in the Will spot in the 3-4 here in New England. Right now, looking at some other draft information, a couple of guys that do project are Jerod Mayo and Aaron Henderson.
Yep.
Thoughts on them?
Well, yeah, I love Jerod Mayo.
I
who
do
else
too.
Is it? Is it McShay or Kuiper? One of them is in love with him, too.
Kuiper loves.
I think Kuiper had Mayo in the first round.
He thinks that Rivers and Mayo are like way closer than where they're going to be drafted.
And the thing about Jerod Mayo is this, and this is very big with me. Whenever I watched a Tennessee game, he was all over the place. And we're talking SEC. We're not talking about playing Middle Tennessee State or whatever. This guy was all over the place making plays. And he kind of reminds me of Al Wilson.
Who
played there, and every time I saw a Tennessee game, Al Wilson was jumping over piles, knocking, you know what I mean? He's that kind of player, and I agree with Andy and with Kuiper. I think Mayo is going to be one of those steals. The only thing I couldn't really figure out, and maybe you can add to this, Andy, I couldn't figure out if he would be a good fit here.
I think he could be here.
Because he's tough. I mean, he's tough.
He plays with a little bit of anger, a little violence. I think he'd be... Now, I think he's a little... He's a little less Rivers. Rivers, to me, is a speed-based player. And I think Mayo is more of a traditional inside linebacker. But I think they both could be successful here.
Yeah, and I don't think he's going to be around when the Patriots pick in round two. Mayo.
No, by all accounts, it sounds like he's rising. He's going to be a top 20, like a 23, 24, in that area somewhere.
I mean, even I don't even know if he would get by the Colts. Because, you know,
he seems like he'd be their kind of linebacker.
They're always looking for defensive guys, young defensive guys. They could use some help at linebacker.
Yeah. Ethan goes on, projecting into the later rounds, you think the Pats might go safety somewhere in rounds 4 to 6. I was wondering about guys like Josh Barrett, Thomas DeCoud, Craig Steltz.
Josh Barrett's my guy. That's the guy I like from Arizona State.
Mm.
A lot of range, made a lot of plays. He seems like he would fit well playing either safety position here.
I think they are gonna have to take a safety. I mean, we look at it, it's not a top need, but if you're moving Merriweather to corner, which I think we all think he's probably going
most
to
likely,
for the most part, and you have Rodney Harrison, who I know he played last year, but the same questions are still there. How can you count on Rodney Harrison just say pencil him in 16 games? I don't think you can. And James Sanders is, I think we like him, but certainly not entrenched as, like, this great player. And, you know, Tank Williams on the knees he has now is probably backup if he even makes the team type of guy. You know what I mean? So there's not a ton of depth there.
The one guy I wanted to mention, he's a late-round guy, but I saw him play a lot, is a Sumrall from Southern Mississippi.
Yes.
He won Defensive Player of the Year honors, I think, twice in Conference USA. He started at corner. He started at safety. I was really surprised that he's like a seventh-round projection because
of that versatility.
Yeah, and plus he's good. Like he sticks to his guys, you know, man on man. Every time I saw him play, I was like, wow, this guy is really good. So if you're looking for a late-round guy that offers versatility that played well in college, mm-hmm. I mean, we didn't get any film on him, so we didn't get to really break him down a lot. But that was a guy just watching football that seemed like he would be a good fit here.
And another guy to throw out there that I know Kuypers really likes and is more of a mid-round pick, set late second, early third type guy probably, and I thought I liked on film, was Godfrey out of Iowa. And he can play both corner and safety. And we know Big Bill is big on the versatility.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Now, you start to put a few of those guys together, you know, with a Brandon Merriweather, with a guy like Godfrey maybe, then you have the depth there kind of at both positions, even if it's not, you know, perfectly aligned, perfectly suited. I think that would help. So he's a guy that maybe if he slips a little bit, maybe into the third round, day two, keep an eye on.
And his last question is about your favorite guy, Tom, Antoine Kasson. Seems to be an all right fit for the Patriots defense. Any of you have an opinion on this guy, he writes. All right, enough bad jokes. Enjoy the food, and I'll be sure to listen later today when I can listen to the podcast. We have a flight design review today, and I'm listening, and listening live is really not an option. Flight design review.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Is he a college student?
I don't know. I don't know what that means.
Does he have, without giving away too much personal information, is there like a signature on the email that tells like what he does or... Is?
Not really. It's a... No. No.
Okay.
But he postscripts with, Lori's welcome to some of the pizza, but unless she's going to send some new cheerleader photos to the PFW MySpace site, no need to talk about them on the air.
New or nude?
New. New.
Oh.
New. Because we were talking the other day, there's an 18-year-old...
I prefer nude.
I thought you said nude.
Did you see the 18-year-old?
There's an 18-year-old Foxborough High School cheerleader who made the Patriots cheerleading squad this
18.
Year.
18, still in high school.
Wait a minute, she's in high school and she's now a Patriots cheerleader?
Yes.
She's a senior at Foxborough High. She tried out for the team and made the team.
So all you have to do is 18.
I keep going to the track.
I think 18 and over, yeah.
I can't find her.
Now he's stalking her.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd stalk her.
Oh, I'll give her a stalk.
Yeah, she's young and blonde, just what Tom was looking for.
Does she have what I like?
I think so.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, the door's right there. Bye-bye, Hapo. We will miss you.
Yeah, that was a great email and a great lunch. Yes. But the one thing I have to say is I just...
You got to love something.
How was that not funny? I actually said to these guys in the office...
I just don't get the kids part because I don't think kids
right.
are watching.
Yeah.
But if Bill Belichick has a sense of humor, and we're told that when he's away from the media and away from football, he does, and he's personal and all that, then on some level, he has to find this both funny and cool. Because... Not everybody gets immortalized in like a TV show. The show was about
right.
him.
This is Bill Belichick.
I mean, that's funny.
I agree with you.
Have a sense of humor.
Well, Andy from Narragansett agrees with you. Yes, Andy from Narragansett.
Why are you shaking the paper? Because whatever Andy from Narragansett says is not breaking news.
No, because I know
if the schedule comes, I'm okay with you shaking the paper.
I know you don't like it, and you haven't been around for a week, and we have a lot of lost time we got to catch up on.
Apparently, you guys just fell apart when I wasn't here.
No,
had this boring show that everybody was
awful.
Sleep,
relax, Tom. Andy from Narragansett got a quick question.
Was it NPR radio last Thursday?
No, it wasn't.
It was terrible.
No, it wasn't. We talked about mostly people were. Mad because we weren't talking about football because there wasn't much football to talk about.
I beg you to listen to the show.
I might have to listen to it.
Kyle came down to do his expert analysis of South Park because he's from South Park
and does a lot of drugs.
Right, and he tried to do his Cartman impression, but didn't really have anything to say.
I mean,
no
offense to them, but both Kyle and Lori were down here at the same time, so you figure out how how the show went.
Anyway, Andy in Narragansett has a quick question, but first he says loved the South Park episode. Good man, Andy.
Very funny.
All right, I've noticed that. And this is sort of related to that whole episode and the Spygate thing. He says, I've noticed that when I watch games on TV, sometimes the Skycam zooms in on the offense when they're in the huddle, and sometimes you can hear what the QB is calling. Now, since taping of team signals is illegal, can teams have a person up in the booth watching the game on TV with a radio down onto the field? And can a coach take the TV tape and use what he sees to help him for a later game? Or are TV stations even allowed to get that close in the huddle? Oh, and Eric, this email won't be complete until you ask Gary if there's a pin on the map for Narragansett. Good job.
Is there?
That's a good question.
I've always said that if I was a head coach, I would actually have somebody watching the entire television production.
They do.
Because, oh, they do?
Yeah.
Okay, I wasn't sure if they did. Because they sometimes...
the announcers give stuff
away.
They'll
give some, yeah. And any little advantage that you can get is good. So now that I know that they do, that makes sense because...
Yeah, my understanding is they do. And that's also... Ernie Adams is watching that in the booth to get the replays, mm-hmm. which is funny mm-hmm. that they're looking at the same replays we are to try to make that decision
right.
quickly. But, yeah, anything that goes over the airwaves is fair game.
Mm-hmm.
Anything. Now, the league, you know, if the league found out that that sky cam was getting too close, blah, blah, the league might, you know, reprimand the network and tell them to change it. But
mm-hmm.
whatever goes out over the broadcast, I mean, that's fair game. That was the whole thing with the Dolphins when there was... You know, did they mic somebody up or did they just get it from a network, from a this or that? Well, there's two very different things there. If you put your own technology to use and try to, you know, espionage, that's cheating. If you just tape it off TV, that's fair game because anybody can do it.
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482, the phone number. We were talking earlier today, Andy, on your return about your procedure last week
mm-hmm.
and how that all went.
Can I ask you a question? Why are all the emails printed out?
I got advance warning on some of them, so you know, wanted to do a little pre-screening.
This is amazing.
But you're just wasting trees.
I kind of feel bad, like when Fred comes back, because you're just going to be sitting here doing nothing again.
Don't worry about it. Got that taken care of. Andy's Orange Firewater is the subject line from Glenn in Augusta. He says, "It occurred to me listening to the podcast from a week ago. Ask your doctor about celiac disease. It is an allergic reaction to gluten. If you'd like to know more information before going to your doctor, my wife is always on celiac.com. It has a lot of stuff about this disease. My wife had similar bowel issues for years until recently when she was finally diagnosed. I'm not a doctor, just a football fan. Good luck. Love the show as always, Glenn and Augusta."
I've heard that theory broached, and I believe I've been tested for it. I've been to like three separate doctors, and I think they eliminated that, but it doesn't matter because if they tell me I can't... Have you ever seen those gluten-free diets?
No.
All these wings and stuff and everything I drink and eat is not on there. So I'll just deal with my issues the rest of my life if they try to tell me. You know.
So when are you going to find out for sure what the results are?
The guy, well, he gave me some results, the major stuff. He sent me a letter and I'm not dying or whatever. But they're supposed to contact me to set up an office visit to really delve into it. Oh, crap. You know,
tell them to give you better advice and take Metamucil.
Yeah,
and the Imodiums. You've been doing that for years, and that doesn't work.
Yeah, I just think I'm a puzzle that can't be cracked.
As I said yesterday, Imodium is not like milk. Every time you go to the store, you're not supposed to pick up Imodium. It's for extreme cases of when, you know, it's not supposed to be like toothpaste.
It doesn't work. Imodium.
Now that I'll disagree with. It works for most people. I can't believe they didn't find something really bad up there.
We had a 7:45 or 8 a.m. flight to Indy. Mm-hmm. In the airport, when we were waiting to go through security, I took 2 Imodium. Mm-hmm. We got on the plane. We landed. We dropped our stuff off at the hotel. By 1 o'clock or something, we were in the Weber Grill ordering food. By 3 o'clock, I was in agony on my toilet in my hotel room.
Okay, now I want to, just to show people how amazing this is, I have an affliction similar to Andy,
mm-hmm.
okay? It was never quite as bad as his, but it was pretty bad. If I took 2 Imodium, I didn't go to the bathroom for 2 days, at least 2 days.
Oh, he
Andy
buys
goes,
me like 6 hours.
Yeah, yeah. Andy goes a couple hours later.
Right.
And I had a problem.
A diagnosed problem.
Yeah, a problem, and he was just...
Well,
right,
that's the thing that scares me about him is they don't know what the hell is wrong with this kid.
Yeah.
They're going to tell him he's got IBS.
That's what they do. Seriously.
That's what they do.
That's what they do.
IBS is one of those made-up things that nobody really knows what it is, and they say just live with
it. It's a generic umbrella thing, too. It's like,
once it's not the other, like, 5 things that are real, they say, it's IBS.
Well, he doesn't have Crohn's disease. Just tell him he's got IBS.
Right. And I get no respect because I'm young and I look healthy.
Oh, yeah. That was you said there were like a bunch of octogenarians in the waiting
room. I certainly didn't
say
that, but I said there were old people. yeah, they were all old. I was the youngest by far, by probably 40 years. I was probably the youngest there.
Now, explain the situation in that room afterwards.
Oh, you just hear farting nonstop.
Yeah, I only remember very little bits of it, but I do remember chuckling to myself when I farted. But my wife was in there and said it was very awkward because even though there were like curtains,
yeah,
she said all you hear, all directions is just these loud, windy farts.
And are other people laughing too, or are they so out of it that they
I'm
don't
sure
know what's going on?
The guests are all out, but the people, you're kind of out of it.
And the nurse is always like, let it go. Yeah. Let it go. It's,
well, they make you. I think if you don't, then you have a problem.
Right. You got to let it. It's, you have it's
to
air.
Let it, yeah.
It's air. It's not really gas. It's air that's inside you.
I just can't imagine your wife or any of these other people who have to go pick up these patients sitting in that room waiting for you to come to.
Well,
while
it's
you're...
made me want to go back as a guest for somebody else who's done it just so I can laugh my ass off with all that fart.
But I don't think it's necessarily a true fart because
it's
air.
It's more like.
It's
like,
air. It's air.
Poof,
yeah,
like
it's
wind.
It's air coming out.
Because
so,
first of all, you're stretched out down there, so it's not coming out a little hole. Your hole is a lot bigger than it was when you went in. Well, maybe not yours. Because yours is already big. Yours has been stretched to the limits. But
so, how long are we going here?
What do you want? Next topic?
Wow,
you don't know the next topic, but
no, we got
boy.
Boy, what happened to this kid too? He goes away for a week to Cancun. He comes back red as a lobster.
And by the way, you're not in college anymore. Why are you going to Cancun during spring break time?
He makes me nervous, that kid. I don't like guys who are tan, and it makes me nervous.
Did you hook up?
Get on the mic there.
I went with my parents.
Oh, Jesus.
certainly not spring break.
Now you went to Cancun during spring break.
It was just a nice relaxing trip. Some cervezas.
Cerveza, you got drunk with your parents?
Of course.
Did you hook up? Not with your parents. I mean, with
no,
somebody
my
else.
Parents.
I was wondering.
Did you hook up with your parents?
Yeah.
Are you Brian Lowe?
Yikes. We have an emailer who's none too happy with you, Tom. For a comment you made last week, Shane in Miami.
Okay.
Remember last week you made a comment about Patriots fans liking Chris Long for certain obvious reasons?
Because he's white.
Yeah. He says, Tom, you said that Patriots fans will love Chris Long because he's white and from Virginia. Huh? Since when are all Patriots fans boosters for the Cavaliers? I could care less what color he is, where he went to school, or who his daddy is. I just want them to draft someone who can play.
Well, you're one of the few people, and I'll give you my example that I give all the time, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Dante Stallworth was a well more accomplished receiver when he came to New England than Wes Welker. Not one person bought a Dante Stallworth jersey. They couldn't keep the Welker ones in stock. He had caught 67 passes, was his career high. He was not a superstar in this league, but he was white, he was small, and people like that. It's not just Patriot fans, it's people in general are drawn to the, I'll tell you what.
Because it's unusual to have
the underdog.
It's
he's small. And
if I was here last week, I would have actually asked Welker the question. I want to know how he feels when people refer to him as given 110%, you know, all the white buzzwords that I can't stand. You know,
backhanded compliments.
Yeah, Randy Moss has, I'm saying this because I'm defending guys like Welker.
Right.
Because Randy Moss has talent, but Wes Welker has a motor that never stops. It's just, I hate that. Just say white. Like I said, the guy on ESPN, I can't remember who it was. It was one of their former player analysts.
One of millions?
Said that Chris Long, now tell me if you can get more racist than this, is a mix between Patrick Kearney and Grant Wistrom. I mean, he took the two white defensive ends in the
and
NFL.
And said they're a mix between
right.
the two.
I mean, I just, and I don't think these guys are doing it on purpose. I'm not saying these people are blatant racists who are doing this. It's just.
Well, you fall into, it's like, it's how it's done. You know what I mean? It's almost like it's become the way. Like you see the scouting room. Everybody just, it's almost natural. It's just how it's become part of the scouting process.
Like if there was a good white corner, if the name Jason Sehorn didn't follow his name every time, you know what I'm saying? It's just how it is.
And with quarterbacks, it goes, if you're a black quarterback, everybody assumes you can run. And that's not always Rohan Davey was not fast, could not run.
Oh, God, no.
But everybody assumed because he was a black quarterback, that he could run.
Andy, you're from here. So let me ask you a question.
Uh-oh.
The Celtics have a bunch of stars, right?
Mm-hmm.
If they got one of the top white players in the NBA, who would have the top-selling jersey in Boston?
That's a hard question. Because of the dynamic that's there now. Because they love Garnett because of what he's done. So, and Garnett instantly shot up. He was like the top-selling jersey as soon as he became a Celtic. That's a tough question. I don't think right now he would go right to the top. He would sell jerseys, no question. But I don't think he'd go right to the top. Certainly
I mean,
Scott Pollard hasn't.
Paul's favorite guy, Trot Nixon. Every team has Trot Nixon.
Right.
Everyone. You can go through every team in the league has Trot Nixon. But They loved him.
But you know what's interesting? I don't think people love Dustin Pedroia.
And they should. Well, he's good.
But it doesn't seem like people love him.
That's true. He's
the short second baseman.
They love Euclid, so they make up for it in that department.
True. Uh-oh.
No, but I agree with what the fan wrote. I'm with you. I don't care what color you are. Right. I don't care what school you went to.
You were
to.
Just making a point.
It's a generalization that people will like a guy, and that's just, it's like that all around the,
wait a minute,
everywhere.
This isn't real, is it?
What are you reading?
Who sent you this?
What are you reading?
And where did it come from?
It is real, and it's on there. Yes, it's real. Read it.
Aren't I supposed to? Isn't there more to this?
Yeah, there you go.
Hi, it's Lori Baranski.
Oh,
now
go.
It's time for Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day. That's Word of the Day.
I thought it was 1:30.
I'm not saying anything about my breasts. Hey, guys. You all suck.
Today's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day, I guess courtesy of my return to the show, is Dartmouth Surprise.
Oh, yes. And that's actually on
it's
there.
It's on there.
It's actually on the site. We checked.
And it actually, in the sentence, uses Andy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And his Deidre won't be happy about this one. And I don't mean the Dartmouth Surprise. She won't be happy that
her name is in there?
Well, her name, thankfully, isn't, because she...
Oh.
She has issues with our listeners. She thinks some of them may be a little, how should I say, off their rocker, crazy... She doesn't like it when I bring like specifics
that
of my
is
home
in there.
Life.
In. And soon,
how did this get here?
I don't know, but soon I'm going to add a Casale cupcake.
Who sent someone?
Put it in. It's actually in there. If you go there,
definitely just a PFW listener.
I can't wait to show Deidre tonight. I'm going to go home. UrbanDictionary.com, a Dartmouth surprise. And by the way, this is not factual in any way.
What do you mean? You told that story on the air.
I wasn't receiving oral.
Oh, that's changed. It's changed.
Someone added that.
It's changed. Because on Thursday, it was something. It was a different sentence in there.
Thursday, it was...
can I not say that?
No, you can say oral.
He just
oral.
Throws his hands up and goes, I don't care.
You can say oral.
I probably shouldn't, but...
That wasn't what was in the sentence.
What happened was just us sitting on the couch watching TV.
That's what the sentence was originally. On
Andy Hart gave his wife a Dartmouth surprise.
No, that's still the sentence, but the definition now includes
that's
the other.
That wasn't in there last week.
I think that was added.
Someone added that.
Oh, God. All right, back to football.
Can I get the old version that I show my wife? Because she really won't like the new version.
Owen in Belfast wants to know, I was wondering in what order...
Are you ever going to read from your laptop? Because why did you even log in if you're just
going
to read every email from the printed ones that
I'm
are in front of you?
Don't worry about it.
The guy is crazy. And are you telling me that Fred has agreed not to be the host of this show anymore?
No.
You killed Fred?
I never said that. I didn't say that. Where's that bell check?
I think I said that, Andy.
I don't think I said that. Who knows?
He's lost back there.
Yeah, he's still on vacation with his parents.
I never said that.
You know, you get paid, and so you're actually working right now, and so this is your show. So when I ask you if I can say that, and you just throw your hands up, I think it's your responsibility to tell me yes or no.
Well, there was nothing I could do after you said it anyway.
But you could tell me to stop
saying
that's
like saying penis, isn't it?
You don't have the 7-second delay on the internet, huh?
But we can say, I could say... The word, but like making it an action.
I don't know what you can say and what you can't say.
Oh, I certainly don't. And I'm, you know, taking my cues from South Park.
We got to
probably a bad
paste a list of words you guys can't say on the walls here.
And when we can't use them.
Right.
Examples.
And combinations of words.
Right.
Because I got bleeped last week by Gary for saying two words
that
you know.
Eric Cartman sang a whole song about on South Park.
Yeah.
We probably need new reference points rather than South Park.
How do I reach these kids?
And I am also surprised South Park not getting sued, because while I know they've become untouchable, they showed Mickey Mouse with a large member.
Yes.
And I thought Disney was very picky about Mickey Mouse.
Maybe they will be. Who knows?
I thought that was one that would challenge
maybe.
Them.
Anyway, Owen in Belfast, back to football, wants to know...
Back to drinking.
...who and in what order we would rank the top five inside and outside linebackers going into the draft for 3-4 teams such as New England.
Outside. Vernon Golston.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go Chris Long, too. Who's next? I don't think Harvey is. I've seen that. I think Harvey's a defensive end.
Groves.
Groves, yes. I like Avril, the guy
from Purdue.
Mm.
Cliff Avril.
Who else is there? I should have brought my list, huh? Eric brings every paper he has.
I didn't bring anything.
Do you have the list there?
I have my own little list of all the linebackers.
I can't think right now. Inside, it's... It's Rivers.
Yep.
Whatchamacallit? Lofton.
Mayo.
Mayo, Lofton.
Inside Bo Bell. Would have to be up there probably.
Further down,
yeah, a little further down. But
I mean, I don't think you can put Connor in there if you want. I think he's garbage. But.
Outside guys, I'm just throwing names out there just for us to consider. You got Xavier Adibi, Ali Highsmith, Curtis Lofton, Aaron Henderson, Sean Crable, Bruce Davis.
I like
Marcus
Aaron
Howard. Aaron Henderson.
I like Aaron Henderson a lot.
Crable's okay. I wouldn't put him in my top five.
No. Aaron Henderson we'll put in there. He's good.
Wesley Woodyard, Kentucky.
Way too small.
Yeah. And then as the list goes down, none of those guys are going to make the top five. But
yeah, I mean, Mayo's a guy that we all really like. We haven't really been talking about him because I thought he was more of a second, third-round guy based on everything I was reading. But now he seems like he's moving up into that
late
first-round area.
Inside guys, you got, you know, Connor, whose stock I think has slipped significantly.
See, I think he was overrated, and now I think somebody might get a decent pick because I think he's okay.
I think he's better than Puzlesny.
I do too. But he was overrated in the beginning, so now people look at him as not as good. Whereas, in my mind, now he's settling into where his value is, and he's a pretty good football player.
Mm-hmm. Philip Wheeler, Georgia Tech.
No use for him at all.
We already talked about Mayo. Jonathan Goff, the local kid.
Yep.
Played at Vanderbilt.
I would put him in the top, but like right in that area.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Ben Moffitt was a guy we talked to at the Combine. Haven't heard much buzz about him, though.
Nah, he's a later round pick. Made a ton of plays in college, a ton of plays.
One guy I liked looking at on film was Jameel McClain.
Yeah,
Syracuse.
I love McClain.
Oh, yeah. But he's a
seventh round guy.
Later round
played
guy,
defensive end, played inside linebacker, played outside linebacker.
Yeah.
He's a Bill special. He's the guy Bill's been drafting for the last 8 years, trying to turn into a starter.
There's a local guy I know some Pats fans might be interested in, Jolon Dunbar from BC. I saw good things and not so good things on his tape. I don't know what you guys thought about him.
Yeah. Sixth round. I mean.
Yeah, these are guys.
Yeah. But that's, you know.
Andy Studebaker. He's the guy I've been raving about since I looked him up last week and found him when I was trying to find diamonds in the rough. I did him for the paper. I was intrigued by him. Went to Wheaton College in Illinois.
Yep.
Division II, I believe it is. Mm-hmm. And is very absolutely freaking dominated the level of play. Tom, you can go online and watch his video on like some weird AOL site. And he just, whether it's a tight end or a tackle, he would basically just hold the guy out in front of him until he decided, is it a pass or a run? Then if it's a pass, he'd throw him down and sack the quarterback. If it was a run, he'd make the tackle in the backfield. Every play he made was in the backfield.
Andy Studebaker.
He played defensive end. He's not he's only 255, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So he clearly has to make the transition to outside linebacker. But I found him intriguing, just, you know, trying to sift through and find some diamonds in the rough at that point.
And it's tough to rank the linebackers this year, too, because like we've been saying for weeks and months now, this isn't the greatest linebacker crop. And I think a lot of the executives around the league, some of whom we talked to at the Combine, kind of hinted at that, too,
right.
That, you know, this isn't,
stayed in.
If you need a linebacker, this year isn't probably the best year to draft one.
And that's why
at least
Rivers
blue chip one. So it's tough to make those
overrated.
Top fives at least, you know.
Yeah, there's the thing about Rivers is this. He's good, but if Maualuga and Cushing came out, he might have been the third player drafted from his own team.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if he would have. They would obviously have to go through the process. Maualuga obviously would have been the top guy.
Yep.
But Cushing is supposed to be a big-time NFL prospect, too. So, you know, Rivers could have been a late first-round draft pick if those two guys come out.
Owen did some research on NFL.com and found this analysis.
Type while drunk?
Apparently. He found this analysis of Rivers, who was being compared to Georgia linebacker who played for Pittsburgh, Kendrell Bell. He's not the most, and this is about Rivers, he's not the most instinctive open field tackler and seemed to be favoring his nagging ankle problems, thus limiting his range and pursuit skills. Five tackles behind the line of scrimmage do not warrant first team All-America honors. That was the scouting report on NFL.com for Keith Rivers.
So. I liked the film I watched on him. I mean, he's a good player. I think he's a little overrated because of the lack of depth in the class. But
yeah, I'll tell you one thing. It's not always easy to rack up tackles for losses at USC because you got four defensive linemen who are usually in there.
There's seven other guys trying to beat you to the ball.
So now, that
that's also an
deceiving
argument. The other side, though, did he benefit
right.
from playing with a great D? I mean, he had those linemen in front
right,
of him.
Right, and Maualuga and Cushing right. and all those other guys.
And that's what you always have to sift through. Not, you know, people do that a lot with quarterback, you know, the talent around him. Does it make him better, worse? But that's every position. When you're on a defense that
right.
good.
Right. I can tell you this right now. Maualuga, Cushing, Rivers. One of those is going to be a bust. It's not going to be Maualuga. I'll guarantee you that. So either Cushing or Rivers is going to be a bust, mostly, if you're playing the odds. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I don't like him at 7. It's too high.
I don't really either, but I'm doing Ask PFW now, and, you know, there's so many questions about if this happens, then what? You got to do something at 7. Mm. You can't just sit there. Well, I guess you could if
like
you
want. Like the Vikings did that one right. year and just let other teams pick.
Right.
But you only have 10 minutes to make that pick this year, so you can't.
No, but you could just sit there. You don't have to pick. The next team can pick, and you can just pass on your pick forever, and I don't know what you'd be. But you know what I mean? You either have to trade it or make a selection.
That's an interesting strategy, though. If you just passed on your pick and the other team came, eventually they'd have to come back to you?
You could make your pick at any time.
You could make your number 7 pick overall as the 268th pick in the draft.
Yeah.
Or, well, maybe not that far. But
the guy'd be arguing I was the 7th
right.
pick.
Right, that's
exactly.
my question. If it slid down
that
to
already
like
happens.
16,
yeah.
17.
When Kevin Williams was taken 2 spots after the Vikings were supposed
right.
to pick, he wanted that money.
Right.
So that was already a problem.
Right. Well,
but we got, you know, Bill Parcells is trying to break the system by, you know, paying this year's number 1 overall pick less than last year. So,
but what Andy said about Rivers not being a 7th pick in the draft, that's why to me it's going to be awfully hard to pass if Ellis or Dorsey mm-hmm. are at 7, because you talk about getting value at 7. Those two guys are value, and then you're talking about kind of reaching for a linebacker,
right.
reaching for this
corner.
So, I mean, they have to make the decision, and it's going to be a tough one if one of those guys is on the board.
And you talk about Andy being upset and bored with a pick if they draft another defensive lineman. I am not going to be a happy camper.
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482, the phone number. We'll get to more your calls and emails, and we have a couple of interesting...
More calls?
We have a couple of interesting stories about Paul Perillo
to
talk about after this break.
What an opening night for the Reds in front of their home fans.
The New England Revolution are back, and 2008 season tickets are on sale now. Don't miss exciting matches against conference rivals DC United and the New York Red Bulls, Cuauhtemoc Blanco and the Chicago Fire, and the Revolution's first ever appearance in Superliga, featuring the best teams from Major League Soccer and Mexico. Revolution season tickets also guarantee your ticket for David Beckham and the Los Angeles Galaxy. This event sold out last year. Don't get shut out. Order season tickets today. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The shutout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh my goodness! Michael Parkhurst! Are you kidding me?
Revolution.
Turn, takes a touch, and buries it! 1-0 Reds! The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet. The Reds have the lead. Taylor Twellman just made 30,000-plus here at Gillette Stadium. Very happy.
2008 New England Revolution gear is here at the Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place. Located right next to Gillette Stadium, the Revolution Pro Shop has all of the official Revolution merchandise you'll ever need. Get the new 2008 home and away jerseys with name and number of your favorite player, or have one customized with your own name and number. Jackets, sweatshirts, hats, tees, and much more. With a huge selection of Revolution items for men, women, kids, and infants. The Revolution Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place is open 7 days a week and always available online at www.revolutionsoccer.net. Get the gear your favorite player wears on the field at the Revolution Pro Shop.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot sack attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots gridiron grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots gridiron grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Welcome back to PFW in Progress. Eric the Leg Scalavino, Tom Casale, Andy Hart, Mini Gary behind the glass today. Fred and Paul are at some bigwig meeting today, apparently. Paul's got his big boy clothes on. Going to be on TV later today on NFL Network talking about the NFL schedule, which we're anticipating coming out in about an hour.
Can you imagine that? The most boring event in the world, the NFL schedule,
has its own
being
show.
Explained by the most boring man in the world, Paul Perillo. Jesus, people are going to be falling asleep all across
this country.
That's
probably why they got him. They were probably like, let's get so-and-so. And then, no, let's save him for the draft.
Let's get this Perillo guy. He seems to put people to sleep.
Oh, my God. Well, Andy, when you were gone last week, one of our intrepid emailers, Frank from Winnipeg, decided that he would...
I just can't get over that you're reading emails off paper.
Don't worry. I got other ones. Just don't worry about it. He took it upon
He's
himself.
He's got notes written on him, too.
Does he?
Really? On some, yeah.
Are you serious? I have notes written on the emails?
It's called show prep, Tom. You might want to try it sometime.
No!
I'm just imagining how bad you'd be if you didn't, quote, do show prep and write notes.
I'll tell you what, Eric.
I'll tell you
when,
what.
When we're on Sirius, yeah. I'll start doing some show prep. But
okay.
When we're on Patriots.com, you can come over at 5 of 12. Say,
I like
are
doing
you ready?
I like doing
I'll
show
I'll get
prep.
Off my gambling site and come down.
I just can't believe this is show prep, what you bring.
Just,
I mean, yeah, is this as good as it gets? This is you at your best?
No, there's more. Trust me.
Because if so, then you're Chris Long. You topped out a long time ago. You're out of here.
So last week, Frank in Winnipeg decides, after all the talk that Tom has been doing about how bad a review he got, Frank was going to give all
it
of us.
It wasn't necessarily the review that was bad. It was when Fred said, your raise is.
Well.
When they got down to numbers.
Let's be honest. That's what the review basically comes down to anyway. So he decided he was going to give us. His own reviews of all of us. He started last week with Fred, and he did it sort of in draft speak, as if he were analyzing a prospect for the draft. So Fred was the first one, and today it's our boy, Paulie Paul Perillo, who's in the crosshairs. He says, don't let Paul's choir boy looks fool you. He's a real warrior come airtime. Positives. He does positives, negatives, and conclusion. First positive. Has a great natural skill set. Surprisingly good looks for a writer. I'm a little wary about you, Frank. Thinking Paul's a good-looking guy?
Gay.
Should make a seamless transition to network video, perhaps as a replacement for Madden. Ouch.
What?
Okay, so it's a dig. He's digging on it.
I still can't get over the good looks part.
I think Paul, it was a dig because he said he was going to replace Madden.
Oh,
so.
Okay. I was going to say, Paul looks like my ass, except my ass has more hair on it.
Mark Tate, Mini Gary.
He doesn't know how to do that.
Second positive, has all the size you want and more. Hair issues are minimal, as is the remaining hair. Positive number three, argues fiercely on either side of an issue and dominates each way. Fourth positive, good in the locker room and has no off-the-field issues. Well, that's clearly not the case.
As we learned
today. The next story that we're going to
we'll
tell you.
We'll get to that a little later. Yeah. Off-field problems, major red flag.
Big time.
Negatives, stock is dropping. Yep.
Negatives for Paul Perillo. Will disappear for stretches. Maybe sulking because he's not getting his share of airtime.
Fiction.
Wow.
Negative two. Fierce and fiery. Could blow up at any time and for any reason, as we saw a couple of weeks ago. Three. Does not have a prototypical video body. Too stout.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Maybe. And negative number four. A little tight in the hips and wallet. Well... I guess he's a tightwad?
Not really.
Is he cheap?
No, he's not cheap.
No?
He actually goes the other way.
Yeah.
I think they spend too much money. Him and his family and everything. He's always buying something. He's worse than me.
Well, I don't know about that.
That's true.
Conclusion from Frank says, Perillo is a boom or bust prospect. Well,
I
thanks
agree.
For going out on that limb for us. Don't forget, in college he earned the nickname Tabasco because of his fiery temper. Needs to bring more of that Tabasco spirit to Patriots today and kick it up a notch. Perillo has definite blue chip first round talent if PFW in Progress goes video. So that's
wait. The Tabasco thing, is that real or made up?
I don't know. I don't know. We'll have to ask him about that. It'd be funny. It'd be better if it's real.
Yeah.
Tabasco Perillo?
See, I got to disagree with this analogy. I don't like this this prospect as much as Fred's because...
Fred's was a killer.
No, but I think Paul suffers if we go to video. See, I think he's good when you don't see him.
So you can have form your own mental image
of
him?
Yeah, I mean, he's always shoving something into his mouth. So
in that way, he's like you, Eric.
So I disagree with the analysis that Paul's blue chip when it comes to video because I think he's better when you don't see him.
Well, can't wait to hear what Frank's going to say about you, Tom, because you're the next one. You're going to be next up on the review list. So stay tuned for that.
The good
thing is
that Thursday. The raise that Frank gives me will be the same as the one Fred gave me.
Oh, but anyway, Perillo, off-the-field issues, yeah, he's got a few.
Yes.
You guys got a story to tell.
Oh, God.
He apparently got into a fight in line at a cash register at Babies R Us last night while picking up diapers.
With another guy?
No.
No.
He estimated 45 to 50-year-old housewife.
Right.
Apparently, he was third in line. Someone was being served by a cashier. This woman was waiting. He was next. They opened up, as they often do when the line builds up, another register. You know, the person says, can I help who's next in line? Paul claims, now I've only heard one side of the story, that's why I say claims. Right.
So if anyone knows this woman, have her please call
please
or email
do.
In.
Any fights at Babies R Us, if you know anything about it, send us the information. But he claims he paused. She didn't attempt to go over there. Mm-hmm. They were already bagging the person's goods in front of her, so she would have been staying.
Right.
And he went to the other register. And then apparently she said something.
Yeah, he's starting to put his diapers and kids stuff down on the register.
And all of a sudden
she said, I guess I wasn't next then. Something like that.
Loud enough so that everyone could hear it.
Right.
To which, I don't remember the exact words, but he went off, basically.
Well, I think at first he was like, okay, I'm sorry. Do you want to go next?
Oh, yeah. He said, do you want to go next?
He said, do you want to go next?
Then
and
she
sort of, like,
said,
pulled his stuff
oh,
off
I
of
see
the,
you have diapers. You're in a hurry. Go ahead. And he goes, no, I'm not. If you want to go next, go ahead. And then at some point.
No, she said, I see you're in a hurry. You can go. He's like, no, I'm in no rush. You go ahead. And then she threw the line that really set him off, which was, I see you have. You have
young
diapers
children.
There, so I see you have kids. That's why you're irritable.
That set him off. Apparently, he then threw down the diapers, was pointing his finger in her face saying, don't ever talk about my kids again. And then he said, you want to go? Which he claims he meant,
you
go
next in line.
But
right.
After throwing down the diapers and pointing in her face, I think it could have been taken. You want to go right now? And then they continued to argue. He then talked to the red cashier and, like, made a joke out of it.
Right.
But then when he was done...
She had one more zing to throw at him. Something like, oh, I see you got to leave before me. That's good.
That's good.
Now you can get home before me.
And he turned and called her a miserable human.
He said, you're a miserable, miserable, miserable woman.
And then was going to wait for her in the parking lot to yell at her about, go home and kiss your husband. He's the unluckiest man on earth or something. But she never came out.
So Frank, I think you can cross off no off-the-field issues on the positives.
The guy's regressing.
Bit of a hothead.
I mean... You know, I used to have a lot of anger problems.
Used
those,
to?
Those are things I used to do like when I was 20.
Used to? I think you still have anger issues.
No, I do, but I deal with them.
I do.
But like in that situation now, I probably wouldn't escalate it because it's just not worth it.
Right.
You know, and plus it's a female.
Right.
A female's really got to get to me.
You might throw out a choice word or two, derogatory.
As I was leaving.
As you were leaving, maybe.
I wouldn't... I wouldn't create a scene like that in the store. I think Paul's something's wrong with him.
And it also sounds like he met like the female version of him. Like they definitely clashed.
They're probably in love.
You know.
A lot of sexual tension going on there. Oh God!
But yeah, imagine getting in a fight in a line at Babies R Us.
Getting diapers.
The funniest part to me was when he puts a finger and says, "Don't you ever say anything about my kids again." Like he's ever going to see the woman again. First of all,
or like he's going to punch her.
But I remember thinking this is. Completely a Seinfeld episode.
Yeah.
The only thing that would make it a complete and tie it all together at the end is if this woman either A, sees him on television later, like on NFL Network or on something, and says, hey, that's the
guy.
SOB, or...
You really went bald there, didn't you?
Or she listens to PFW in Progress and says, that was me!
That would
and
be
calls
great.
In. I would love for that to
Now,
happen.
Here's the thing, though. See, women have free reign, though, because if I was her and he said that to me, I'd say...
your kids are a pile of trash because he can't do anything.
Right.
If he hits her, she sues him.
Right.
So, because a guy's hands are tied. So you gotta. That's why it's hard to get in a fight with women because they can get you so mad and you just have to stand there and take it.
I don't know if he would have stood there and took it though. Yeah.
He threw down his diapers. He was ready to throw down.
And then whatever Ray's Andy got, I would have gotten that. And you would have got.
And I'd be in an office.
And you would have got the 10,000 that Paul.
That Paul apparently got. I think old Tabasco Perillo showed up at Babies R Us last night. Oh, anyway, webradio@patriots.com is the email address.
Not right with him. I think he's like looking in the mirror and just thinking to himself, "How did I get this way?"
508-543-7482, the phone number. I like reading emails from first time writers.
Are you
going to
print? Are you going to print this?
No,
out?
This is actually.
Oh, you're actually getting.
I'm actually
to the
reading
computer?
One from. Yeah, this is
an hour and 10 minutes into the show. You're actually reading emails that are on the laptop that were possibly sent today.
Yes. Yes.
Jeez.
Chris from Bozeman.
I take back everything I ever said about you being a good host. You stink.
I've got the obligatory Mini Gary. Do we have a pin in Bozeman, Montana? You can check for
I'll
it.
Check.
Okay, Bozeman, Montana. Hey, guys, I've been listening to you guys religiously for about a year, but this is my first time emailing. I listen to both PFW and Progress shows, draft prospect reviews, roster reviews, even Patriots Today. Don't worry, I skip all the B-Low segments and just watch when you guys are on because, as we all know, B-Low's.
Ah, I see what you did there. I agree.
3, 2, 1, he writes. And now Fred gets the joke.
So if I've Fred were here, that would have been accurate.
Yeah. So got a couple of linebacker questions for you. Number one, Tom doesn't seem to be as high on Golston and Chris Long as everyone else. So how would you rank the following outside linebacker prospects? Chris Long, Vernon Golston, and Keith Rivers in terms of how they would fit into this system. That's his first question. He's got another
one. We kind of already discussed that.
Yeah.
I love Golston. I'm over the top, madly in love.
Yeah,
and there's a chance that in 3 years.
We all are.
There's a chance in 3 years I'm saying, wow, he looked good.
The reason I'm not, and I agree with Todd McShay 100% on this issue, is he disappears too much. Like, he's definitely had, and the reason why I wouldn't mind taking him in the top 10 is because he's shown me enough in college where he can take over games, mm-hmm. and he's got that upside of the physical ability. So I think if he gets with the right coach, especially Belichick, I think he'll become a terror. But there's also that fear if he goes to the wrong team
right.
and he doesn't kind of get that motivation.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in another year, I probably would have him ranked down a little further. But this year, right now, I think he'd be a great pick in the top 7 or 8.
Now, we know, Tom, your disdain for Oklahoma defensive players. So with that in mind.
It's not really a disdain. They just stink.
Well, that's what I mean. Chris wants to know how we would rank the following inside linebacker prospects. He has Rivers again, Mayo, who we mentioned in the first hour, and Curtis Lofton, mm-hmm. In terms of how they'd fit into the Pat system. He said he listed Rivers twice in both of those because there doesn't seem to be a consensus as to whether he's an inside or an outside guy.
Well, I don't think he's an outside guy here. I think he's only an inside guy here. And I think the order he gave the inside guys is the order I'd put him.
Rivers, Mayo, then Lofton?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And finally, he says, thanks, guys. Love the show. Can't believe I've wasted like 208 hours of the last year listening to you.
Oh,
that's
pathetic. It is hard to believe.
208?
Well, something like that. I figure 2 hours.
No offense to him, but it is really sad when you look at it that way.
What a loser.
Just kidding. What was his name?
That's Chris from Bozeman, Montana. First
and did
time.
We get a pin in there?
There's a pin in Bozeman as of now.
Oh, well done.
So that was the
you
first
did
one?
Do something productive.
Excellent.
About time.
Excellent. What about Leeds, England, Gary? Because Mini Gary, because we have another first time emailer.
I'll check.
Okay.
You know what's amazing?
I'll check.
He's got those emails. He's got things highlighted.
Well, because this first time emailer wrote a 2-page.
Well, you know, no wonder the updates are suffering. You're spending all your time going over emails. What if Fred had hosted today?
This would have all gone for naught.
Yeah, and all these people wouldn't have gotten their emails read. See, I did a lot of research. I took the important parts out of these emails, and I'm going to get
you highlighted too.
This is my fourth year here. This is one of the most astonishing things I've ever seen since I've been part of the Patriots.
Show prep, Tom. Show prep.
Show prep is knowing who the fourth tight end is, not taking emails that you can read on the computer, printing them out, and then highlighting them for some reason.
It's true.
Anthony, Naples, welcome to the show.
What's going on there, Eric?
Taking abuse, as always. What's
Taking
going on
abuse
down there?
As always. Well, I want to thank you because I watched that South Park episode, and I'm glad you prepared me for it, and I didn't take it too serious.
How do I reach these kids?
Yes, how do I reach these kids?
So what did you think?
You know, honestly, I'm being sarcastic. I would have been fine with it, even if I didn't hear your advice.
you wouldn't have been lost without Eric?
No. I think I could have handled it. But I'm glad he explained, you know, and it just made things a little bit easier because I probably would have been pissed. But anyways, the real reason I'm calling, not to bust Eric's balls.
He doesn't have any.
That is true.
Hey, come on.
Okay, now I want to say this ahead of time because, first of all, he's one of my favorite players, and I'm talking about Junior Seau. So I don't want Patriot Nation getting out overexcited and too angry. It's just more of a curiosity question. Now, Junior Seau obviously is not part of the team technically. You know, he hasn't been signed again because he's a free agent, correct?
Right.
My question pertains to is when you're a free agent and he's out in the street like he is, is he subject to drug testing rules?
That's a good question. I don't believe he is.
I'm not putting any words in anybody's mouth or anything.
Yeah, he's not in the league right now, so I don't believe that he is subject to testing. Are you theorizing that he takes these long stretches of being a free agent to supplement?
You know what? Listen, everybody don't send emails saying I'm a rat or just like, you know, I'm downing the guy. He's one of my favorite players. I loved him when he was in San Diego. But let's be real. You know,
that's a moot point, Anthony. It doesn't matter. I like plenty of players who are probably taking the juice. Just because you like a guy doesn't mean that he has to be clean.
Right. You can look at it openly.
I don't want any angry emails. I just want to be clear that I'm not bashing the guy. Because you know what, Tom? I'm cut from the same cloth as you. If I had a chance, if there was millions of dollars at stake, I'm taking the stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I would take the stuff right now if I knew I was getting good stuff, even if, like, if it was free or if I can get it.
Right. No, I'm with you. That's why I'm saying I don't think your like for a player has to be whether or not they're taking steroids. It makes no difference to me.
Yeah, it's just more of a curiosity thing because I've been thinking about it. And you know what? Here's the thing is just obviously he's played with Rodney Harrison. I'm not throwing any stones at his house either. But, you know, it's kind of like, Rodney's on a team. You know, he's been here a while.
And we've all made those connections.
They talk to the same people. That's all I'm throwing out there.
The one flaw with your theory is if he juices, he's been juicing for a long time, not just the last 2 years.
I'm not particularly talking about juice. You know,
but I'm saying if he's been supplementing, supplementing for the better part of 2 decades now in the National Football League. And he knows how to do what he needs to do to stay out of testing and to not get in trouble.
I will say this. He's a tough one to kind of pin down because I think he's naturally got that muscle tone. You know what I mean? Like how some people just have that cut-up look to him. I think he has that naturally. So, you know, you could argue that, well, that's just him, but you could also argue that he's playing NFL football at age 40.
I cover him with the same.
I'm not going to take anything away from the guy. The guy has talent. Like, you know, he has a God-given gift. He hit the lottery. You know, genetically. The man's a freak. It's just naturally he's that big. You know, these people are just built that way. And my thing is that, you know, maybe with the HGH, because it's supposed to help you heal faster, it's supposed to keep you youth, you know? And
yeah, there's no question about it. I mean, I think Zach Thomas is on it. I do. If you ask me, I think Zach Thomas is taking it.
Well, I think if you insert player here, I would say yes more often than not, any player you list.
Well, hey, listen, not to toot my own horn or anything. It's like, but not that I know Zach Thomas personally, but I do know one of his friends that he lives with. He's actually he plays in the Arena Football League down here, and I'm just going to leave it at that. Mm. He was kind of one of those guys that kind of like, you know, bragged about it a little bit. You know, when I'm lifting with Zach, it's like, okay, he's clearly on the juice. This guy, you know, those people roll together.
Yes, that is true. Steroid users tend to travel in packs.
Yeah, you know, I've been around it since early, you know, high school. I know kids that have done it, and they didn't amount to anything. You know, you just do it, let alone when there's millions of dollars at stake.
Right.
It was just more or less my question if you were subject to testing if you're a free agent, basically.
I don't believe you are, but I also don't think that has anything to do with it. I think one thing is he doesn't necessarily want to be here to work out. He wants to be surfing. And if he signed, I think there would be some pressure for him to be here. And I think he honestly is trying to decide whether he's going to retire. You know, I think it was supposed to be the storybook ending.
Right.
Unfortunately, the ending wasn't what it was supposed to be.
Almost was. We've talked about it a million times. Yeah. And after that Moss touchdown, the cameras cut to him and Brewski, and you could read Brewski's lips saying one more time, and they really thought that was it. And
Same thing. I mean, if last year, say something weird had happened and Patrick Willis had slipped and the Patriots drafted Patrick Willis, I'm not sure Junior Seau would have been back. This year, if they get the linebacker they're looking for, I'm not sure Junior Seau will be back. I think there's some open-endedness on both ends. He might retire, and they might not necessarily have a need for him.
Yeah. You made up a good point, too, is that, you know, just not being here for the off-season workouts, you know, if you're not signed, you know, you don't really have to,
right,
you know, wonder where he is, and he won't be left to a different standard.
Right.
And it's different with Brewski because he actually lives in the area. So he could sign early, and he probably wants to work out in the area.
Right.
Where Seau's based out in San Diego, listen, he doesn't want to spend his offseason in the cold New England weather. Come on, it's San Diego.
Right, he wants to surf. And apparently if you're under contract and named anything but Tom Brady, you have to be here to work out.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that's pretty much it, guys. I just kind of want to throw that thought out there.
All right, Anthony. Right.
Thanks, Anthony.
Stay tuned. The schedule's coming out pretty soon. Hopefully we'll have a little advance notice before
Anthony,
the end of the show.
Anthony believes that Junior Seau is taking HGH.
And supplements himself mostly between the months of March and June.
Yeah. And we encourage angry emails
to rip Anthony, also known as the Grey Goose provider in these parts.
Yes, so we got to stand.
Although he hasn't in a while.
Side. Well, it was Christmas time, wasn't it?
That's a while.
That was a while ago.
Wow, boy.
We're almost to the draft.
Jeez.
How long do you think those bottles are going to last?
Did you guys know the Colts have a web radio show?
I did not, but I bet it's not as good as ours.
Well, apparently not. According to Robin Indy, who is a big-time Colts fan, he says the Colts web radio show isn't quite as good as this one. It's all ex-players on that one. Maybe they'll get one. Maybe they'll get one with a little more personality, like yours.
Time to send the resume.
He doesn't say, but I think he should write back in. Rob, send us in that info who the players are. Anyway,
ask them if they're hiring.
Anyway, he says I check in from time to see what our mortal enemy is up to. It's good to see how the other side thinks. All in all, you guys aren't half bad. Entertaining, at least. You do seem to know your football. Well, thanks, Rob. Who are the Patriots going to pick at number 8, he says? Well, it's number 7, but that's okay.
Maybe he thinks they're going to trade down.
Golston, Ellis, Rivers, or a cornerback? Better fix them linebackers, boys, or it might be a long year. Maybe we'll get lucky and McFadden will be there at 8 and the Colts 7. And the Colts can put a hurt on them twigs, I mean legs. Good luck next year until we meet in November, I'm sure. Schedule's out today. Peace out, he says.
He's actually a Colts fan.
Oh, yeah. Big-time Colts fan, yeah.
He likes our show because...
I remember him now. See, at first I thought he was a Patriots. When he said check out the opposite, I thought you meant he was checking out the Colts website.
He's checking us out to find out what's going on.
I think the Colts will win the Super Bowl probably if the Patriots don't.
I think there's zero chance the Patriots draft Darren McFadden.
Zero.
Zero.
Because
I don't think he's that good, first of all.
Well, we know that.
And second of all, yeah, you know my whole theory. Right. But they already have one running back who is, I want to walk gently here, less than perfect in terms of how they've had to deal with him, I guess, both with injuries and maturity, the things Brady talked about, all those things. I'm not sure adding a McFadden to the mix of a Maroney would necessarily put together this great two-headed backfield. I think you might end up with two head cases in the backfield. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, McFadden just doesn't fit here. Tom Brady is the guy. You're going to throw the football.
Right.
Okay, you already have Maroney. You have Sammy Morris. Then you throw McFadden in there. I don't know if he's going to be a guy happy with 10 carries. Remember, in college, him and Felix Jones both played, but they threw the ball 5 times a game. McFadden was getting 25, 30 carries a game. It wasn't like they were splitting 10.
Yeah, his
10,
touches
10.
Were huge. Because he had the regular running back touches, then that,
yeah.
What do they call it?
The wildcat formation.
Then he caught a few balls. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was getting a lot of touches. That's one of the arguments the other way is he's had a ton of touches.
Yeah, I don't see him coming in here taking 10 carries. He wants to be the guy somewhere, and, you know, it doesn't seem like a good fit to me.
Todd from Nova Scotia, Andy, wants to clarify a few things. First of all, how bad Thursday's show was.
Yeah.
He says, in the last 30 minutes, I sent 2 emails on different draft prospects I wanted to get Casale's opinion on. And Eric went on to read 2 different emails about his website and artwork.
There you go.
About the draft.
You sold any paintings yet?
No, but I do have some news about that I can tell you later.
I care about is if you sold a painting. I don't care about all the other crap. You ever hear the phrase I like to throw around, don't tell me about the pain, just show me the baby?
Right.
When you have a baby,
right.
And you could, because you could be one of those transgendered guys or whatever, so at any point you could pop a belly. Tell me if you sell a painting.
Okay. About the draft, Todd in Nova Scotia gets the feeling Rivers can't play in the Pats system. He thinks if the Pats Think Kayson is the best corner. They'll take him regardless of what other teams and Kuiper thinks.
No chance.
Yeah, but they'll
if they
down,
think they can get him at 20, they're not taking him at 7.
Right.
Bill Belichick lives and dies with value. Mm-hmm. That whole economics major thing kicks in.
He says his point is, remember, Logan Mankins was not listed as a first-round pick by anyone.
That's the end of round one, though. It's a totally different scenario. So.
And by all accounts, I believe it was the Niners that were picking like 33rd or 34th mm-hmm. that everybody thought was going to draft him.
Right.
So if you wanted him, you had to take him.
Yeah.
Now, Kayson, everybody assumes is going to be late teens, early, well down from where they're picking.
I could see them taking him a little earlier than most, like if they traded down to 13 or 14 right. or something, and like in that area, but not 7. That just doesn't represent good value.
Part of the draft process is reading what's going to happen in the draft.
One of the the key, I remember the one of the best examples of that is when the Bengals took Levi Jones. It was either 9 or 10. Kuiper liked Levi Jones.
But not
he said, I think he could turn into a Pro Bowl player, but he said, one of the keys of drafting is knowing how to work the draft.
Right.
This guy is 25th rated on most boards.
Mm-hmm.
Drop down a few spots. Get extra. He said that's the problem with a team like the Bengals is they don't work the draft to their they don't use it to their advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And the Patriots are the best at that.
Well, Todd seems to think that they might trade down even further to the bottom of the first round and get a guy like USC's Lawrence Jackson or Auburn's Quentin Groves or Cliff Avril from Purdue, who we mentioned earlier.
But who are they going to trade with?
Right.
Well, yeah, that's the.
Everybody wants to trade down. No one wants to trade up.
I'll tell you right now, I can guarantee you no one wants to trade up because Miami, on a normal year, would get out of that spot. I guarantee you they would. They would get out of that spot, but they're so sure that nobody wants that, is going to give them anything for that pick, that they're already negotiating with guys because I just think they've talked to people and teams told them what they would give them to move up, and Miami said, this isn't even close to what we want.
What if McFadden is there at 7? And like we said, the Pats aren't interested in him. And somebody down at 28, 29, somewhere down there, decides, hey, wow,
well,
we didn't think he would be there.
I know someone in Dallas told me that he'd have to fall out of the top 10 for them to move up because they said Dallas is not getting up to 7. They're just not going to go up that high to get McFadden. So you'd have to talk. I just don't know who's going to come up. Because I know everyone's pointing to Dallas. I'm telling you right now, they're not coming up there. They're just not. I don't believe they are. And I have no respect for Jerry Jones.
Oh, yeah.
And if it's something stupid that I think he's going to do, I'll say that he's going to do it. But I just think there's too many people around him that won't allow that kind of idiotic trade to happen. So
isn't he surrounded by his sons, though?
There's a couple of football guys there that might actually – I just don't think it's going to happen. Okay, the whole Marion Barber – Marion Barber isn't going anywhere. So take that right out of the equation because he's not. I know he's not.
I hope we can mark tape on this, and then on draft day they trade Marion Barber for something.
Oh, let me
and
tell you something. If that happens, you'll have a lot better tape than this. You'll have stuff for the ages if that happens. But I just don't know who's going to come up from that far. It's
Dallas would seem like the likely candidate.
They have the two first-round picks.
And they're down low enough that would be – it seemed to make sense for the Patriots. Whether it makes sense for the Cowboys is another argument. Todd's final parting shot is Perillo completely lost it. He doesn't care anymore. He's a heartbeat away from sitting in the park and yelling at pigeons.
Probably true. One step down from yelling at housewives and pigeons.
So true.
I agree with Todd.
So am I next? Fred's lost it. Paul's lost it. Am I next to just start, acting weird?
I don't know. Somebody wrote in last week that you've already lost it.
How did I lose it?
Oh, yeah, you're not funny anymore.
Yeah, you're not funny anymore. You're recycling your old humor. You're not coming up with anything new.
Who wrote that?
You're using the gay thing as a crutch because
you can't come up with anything funny.
It is what it is.
No, but
and it still makes me laugh, and I've told you all along that as long as I laugh, that's all that matters.
Right, but, a couple of people said last week that,
this person's an idiot.
Brian from who knows where says
is that what it really says, or you just don't know?
No, he doesn't say where he's from. Oh, actually, I'm sorry. Down at the bottom, there's a little signature.
You mean underneath his name?
No, I'm reading the signature.
Why didn't you highlight that?
Yeah, why wasn't that highlighted?
Because
you can highlight online,
Oh, that's right. You can. Yeah.
That's how Kyle used to write his stories.
Brian from Aspen, Colorado, one of those skiing bums.
Yes.
Probably, right? He says, I've been a bit distracted at work, but this exchange caught my attention from earlier in today's show. Eric. An 18-year-old Foxborough cheerleader made the Patriots cheerleading squad. Tom, 18. I left the room for a few minutes to use the copy machine. I returned to hear, Tom, 18. Tom Casale, lost in a trance of possibilities. This is why we love PFW in progress.
So is the squad finalized?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I go online and see photos of
it? I don't know if the photos are there. The list
yep,
of says the creep in the corner.
Yep.
The photos are up.
That's where Gary got the picture of the 18-year-old.
Oh, right, 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 right. Yeah, you'll have
she's
to go
been
check.
A cheerleader a week, and she's already like being made fun of.
Oh, yeah.
Made lusted fun of. After. And...
But Brian has a football question, too. He says, if the Pats were to take a DB at 7, which of these three would you take? McKelvin, Cromartie, or Kaysan? I mean, I think that's pretty obvious. We all love Kaysan.
I can't answer that because I wouldn't take any of them at 7. I really wouldn't. McKelvin, to me, is a great return man, pretty good corner. Mm-hmm. Cromartie is a guy who I think's raw, has great physical ability, definitely not worth a 7th pick in the draft. Kaysan
could be the best.
Kaysan is the most NFL-ready, I believe. I don't know. Like, I don't think he has as much upside as a Cromartie, but I think he's going to be a good, solid NFL corner for years to come. But again, you know...
And you know what good, solid NFL corners, you know what they call those guys when you take them 7th? Busts.
Yeah, exactly. So this to me adds the whole dynamic of the defensive tackles because those to me are two studs.
Boy, am I going to be mad.
But those are two – and I actually don't think they're going to take one. But with one of those guys, if it's 7 and one of those guys is on the board, they are hands down going to be the best player available. So what do you do? Now –
take Mendenhall.
But now to me,
who is completely
McFadden is the flashy name, but running backs are running backs. If you're looking at Ellis or Dorsey at 7, that's when I think teams are going to try to trade up because a lot of teams are going to have one of those guys rank 1 on their draft board.
Sure.
And at 7, if they're still available, they're going to say, we can come up with the Patriots and get this guy. I just don't see a lot of teams saying, let's get up to 7 and get McFadden.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a Dorsey, it's going to be a Ellis, one of those guys, or maybe a Chris Long mm-hmm. if the Patriots don't necessarily love him. If a defensive playmaker like that slips, then I think you have a better possibility for a trade.
If you want a running back in any draft, all you got to do is wait till like the 5th or 6th round and draft whoever's coming out of Georgia that year.
Yeah.
You know, they seem to, I don't know what they're doing down there, but they seem to crank
plus,
out the running backs.
The other problem with this is it's a deep running back class.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of different – now, maybe McFadden's the best if you think that, but is he good enough to trade up to 7 to get – and who really needs a running back that bad? Am I missing something? Because I can't think of a team that
– Detroit.
Would be dying to get up there. Where they pick?
14.
Yeah, they're somewhere in the middle, I think.
If I was them, I'd roll the dice and hope Mendenhall slipped.
They're not going to take they're not going to take another receiver this year.
No,
it's got to stop.
One good enough,
but whether it's good enough or not, I don't know.
But they'll probably take the running back.
But now Chicago, Chicago's in a situation where can they afford to pay two running backs that kind of money? Because Benson's making a whole boatload of
that's
money.
That's because Bill's boy Jerry Angelo blew that.
That'd be a good pick for Detroit though if they end up with Mendenhall.
Yeah,
I mean, they're getting.
You know, and it'll be another guy that Andy likes who goes to Detroit and never pans out.
I remember my buddy who's a Bears fan, the day they drafted him, and he started crying. He said, that guy can't play. He said, anyone who cries like a baby after they're drafted can't play.
Well,
I said that last year about somebody. Who was that? Oh, Vernon Davis.
Remember when he was oh, yeah.
Balling his
oh,
eye
yeah.
Out?
Yeah, yeah.
He's done
yeah.
Nothing. I haven't seen him do much.
Wasn't he injured a little bit?
Eh, who cares?
No.
So he's a
We talked a little bit on the show a few weeks ago about the whole Seymour situation, about him, you know, having a little bit of an off year, trying to come back from that injury, not
two
being
years.
Himself. Or what's that?
2 years.
Not having a good past 2 years? Yeah. You know, he got the big contract, then he got hurt, and hasn't quite been the same since then. So.
And now they're drafting Cedric Ellis.
Again with the explaining.
What?
We've been here, Eric. We know what Seymour's done.
You've been here, but not all the fans. We have a lot of first-time listeners, you know.
You're
who might not have heard the show from four weeks ago.
So you're telling me the people tuning in don't know that Richard Seymour hasn't played particularly well the last couple
I'm
years?
I'm explaining. There are emailers. And
how many first-time listeners do you think we have today?
Well, we have at least two because two of them wrote in.
I say three.
Okay.
I say there's three first-time listeners.
I say there's a lot more, but they don't have the courage yet to write in because they don't know what they want to talk about or whatever.
All right, first-time listeners.
There's one guy that wrote in before and said, I've been listening for a year and I'm finally writing
okay.
in.
Okay, well, that's not a first-time listener.
No, first...
That's
okay.
A long time.
First time listeners, if you're out there, email in and tell me if you know anything about Richard Seymour, if you need Eric to explain.
I am setting up the next email.
And if, as
which
a first
is about
time listener,
Seymour.
You've realized that Eric is a pompous jerk.
Yeah, and if you are a first time listener, the show will get better once Fred gets back, so give us another shot.
We have a fill in host. It's like when Castle plays quarterback. The
yeah.
Patriots aren't as good. Sorry.
I was starting to like you again, Andy.
I've only been back for a day.
I know.
He's taking this host thing seriously.
It's fun.
The power has gone to his head.
Sean in Edmonton has some trade scenarios involving Richard Seymour. So that's the setup I was trying to get to before I was so rudely interrupted. He says, hey, guys, let's say the top six picks in the draft are as follows, in no particular order. Golston.
Whoa, time out. Just real quick before we analyze Richard Seymour.
Sure.
Wasn't he handed how much of his contract was guaranteed? Wasn't there bonus money of like $20-something million over the first 2 years?
Might have been. I can't remember off the top of my head.
That makes him tough to trade on a short deal, a relatively short-term contract. But proceed.
Sure. Your top six picks in no particular order. Golston, McFadden, Matt Ryan, Chris Long, Clady, and Jake Long. Okay?
So, this would be so neither of the defensive linemen go?
Neither Ellis nor
Dorsey.
No, not in this scenario.
There's no possible way that that would happen.
Mark tape. Gary's got an open coming.
Those two guys are both too good that one of them will have to be gone by 7. And there's too many teams that need interior defensive linemen.
Can't wait till Saturday.
Okay.
At 7, the Patriots right here, probably choosing between Dorsey and Ellis.
So that's the scenario. Would it be this would be bad, according to Sean, since Golston, Long, and Clady are guys that I think would be good fits for the Pats, while the other three could be solid trade bait. Anyway, let's say this or something similar plays out and the Patriots can't find a partner to trade down with. What would you think about taking either Ellis or Dorsey to replace Seymour and then turning around and shopping Seymour? Here are several trade ideas I had. Seymour goes to Oakland in exchange for Michael Huff and Fabian Washington.
Nope. Oakland won't do that.
Well, I was going to say, why would Oakland do that?
He says apparently the Raiders are shopping Huff, who's only 2 seasons removed from being a top 10 draft pick, touted as the next great safety. I know safety is not a huge need, but there isn't anyone on the roster with Huff's potential. Washington could be thrown into the corner competition. The Raiders had another big name who could either play end or replace
Warren
Sapp.
First of all, Fabian Washington sucks, just so everyone knows that. He ran a 4.27 or 4.29 at the combine. That's the last anyone's ever heard of him. He stinks, so I don't want him to begin with.
All right.
And Huff has been a disappointment. He was one of those guys everybody lusted at.
Mm-hmm. I loved him. And the other thing I'll say is, to me, Seymour is the worst kind of player to trade for because he's a veteran. He makes a lot of money, and he hasn't played up to potential the last couple seasons.
And he's already got the jewelry.
And, yeah, he's already got the ring. So if I'm looking
for a
trade.
And he's going to Oakland.
players go to die.
Which would be the perfect spot for him, actually. So I guess that trade does make sense.
What about this one involving your team, Tom? Seymour goes to Dallas in exchange for linebacker Bobby Carpenter, defensive lineman Greg Ellis, and a second or third round pick. The Pats, his analysis, the Pats get much-needed linebacker depth, and the Cowboys strengthen their mediocre D-line with a proven but relatively young vet in Seymour.
If I'm the Cowboys, I'd make that trade any day of the week, and I'll tell you why. Carpenter is a nobody. He's going to have to fight to make the team this year, so you lose a nothing there. A second or third-round draft pick, you already have 2 first-rounders. You're not losing nothing there. Ellis has 1 more year in Dallas. So you're losing a guy for 1 season, and then you get Seymour at a spot where you can improve. So if I were Dallas, I'd make that deal in a second because you're not really losing anything.
Imagine if you put him next to DeMarcus Ware.
That's what I'm saying. I think the Cowboys are a team, if a trade like that, which would never happen because, like I said, Dallas would be making out on the deal big time. But that would make more sense than a team like Oakland, who's kind of younger and getting a guy like Seymour, mm-hmm. who's probably just going to shut it down when he gets there.
I still think, though, the whole game is flawed a little bit because I think he's the dead money for the Patriots.
Yeah,
the contract would be too troublesome.
I mean, he basically got like a 4-year, $30 million deal. And I want to say a bunch of bonus money up front and virtually all of it guaranteed. I think it would be a tough deal to trade.
He has 2 more scenarios. Seymour to Washington in exchange for Rocky McIntosh and Carlos Rogers.
Sure.
Yeah?
I'd make that deal.
Yeah.
Especially, now, this scenario I'm drafting.
Both guys got hurt last year.
I'm drafting Ellis or Dorsey, and I'm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, half the people in this town want to run Seymour out of town as it is, and we're ending up with a starting corner and a starting linebacker?
Yeah.
And a starting
defensive lineman. I forgot about the draft pick.
Well, he says, I don't know if this is realistic, but you never know what Dan Snyder might do. McIntosh, like you said, a good young linebacker who can play inside, and Rodgers could compete for a starting job as well. Seymour would play inside for the Skins.
There'd be no competing.
Right, he'd be the starter.
Yep.
And then his final one, Seymour to Carolina for defensive back Chris Gamble or Richard Marshall and possibly a draft pick.
Well, that trade just sucks.
Yeah, that was the worst one of those are weird trades.
Yeah, he says his rationale, the Panthers have 3 starting caliber corners and recently lost Chris Jenkins. So this trade would give the Pats a new, cheaper number one corner.
Any of those
Panthers
corners are necessarily
one.
Great, though, are they? Right. They're starting.
I mean, they're two guys that I liked coming out of college, but I don't know if they're... I haven't watched enough of them in the pros.
I mean, we can...
And who's their third corner?
We can ride it's a whatchamacallit, from Seattle that they signed to a big contract. Lucas. It's those three are their three top corners.
And some would argue they have at least three number two corners.
Yes.
and they signed... They signed Dante Wesley, the guy that was here.
Some would argue they signed a guy who's going to get cut.
That was the guy that came to camp last year for the Pet. Yeah, looked like he should have been a professional wrestler. Right. He was in camp for
and
like
a model. You liked
two
him.
Weeks.
You had a thing for him. You told
did
me.
Not have a thing.
You did
no, no,
one
no.
day in the
no, no,
tent.
No, no,
you opened
no, no,
up.
No,
no,
no
one
no,
was
no,
around.
No, no,
and you
no.
said, "See that guy? Kind of like him."
No. Minnie Gary just handed me
jock tax. Why are they going to tax my jock?
That was Sean in Alberta, in Edmonton, Alberta for that.
Do you have the schedule?
Analysis. I have strength of schedule.
Well, I don't care about
that. This is Minnie Gary just handed me this.
I already know who's number one. The Pittsburgh Steelers.
That's right. Who's number two?
Whoever else is playing the NFC East.
Well, it's got the Indianapolis Colts listed at number two, strength of schedule. This is 2008 strength of schedule. Of course, we don't have the exact
my
schedule
guess
yet.
Is a lot of the NFC North teams will be up there because they have to play their division and the NFC East, who all had pretty good records last year.
All right. Well, here's your top 10 strength of schedule according to this ESPN.com printout. Steelers, Colts, Jaguars, Vikings. There's one of your North ones. Ravens, Titans, Bengals, Texans.
No, the Ravens, Bengals, Steelers. AFC North, I meant.
Oh, okay. Texans, Browns, Lions.
Browns. There you go. All in the top 10. I'm right again. Go ahead. Next.
But anyway... That's
where's this, where's the Patriots?
Bottom. Second
read,
to last.
Very bottom.
You read all of them and decided to leave out the Patriots.
No, we're still talking about that, I thought.
Where's Dallas?
Yes. Dallas is right about in the middle. They're at 523. That's their percentage. The Pats, 387.
So now where's the emails chiming in saying that the Patriots are getting screwed? They went undefeated.
Yep.
They were a second away from going 19-0, and they have the second easiest.
387.
But that just shows how stupid it is, because they have to play the teams in their crappy division twice.
Right.
And that's part of the thing.
You know who really hurts that? Helps it or hurts it? They play the Dolphins twice.
Yes.
Who had one
the
win.
The Rams. They play the Rams. So they're playing. They have three games against teams that are picking one and two in the draft. They play the Raiders. They play the Chiefs.
Right.
They play the who's
Niners.
The Niners.
Top 10 draft pick.
The Jets.
Yeah. It's
so they're playing everybody pretty much in the top 10.
If they're
10.
Picking in the top 10 of the draft, the Patriots are playing them. So
no,
we've already started
19-0.
Well, so I was those just going to say as we've started.
I was just going to say with
Breeze to 14-2. If it's a good year, 16-0.
Is it going to be like last year where we get that November game against the Colts and that's the tough game of the schedule?
I just don't think so, because if you're doing it gambling wise, you're going to play the odds here, and the odds of a team going 16-0 are so remarkable. Now you're asking for a team to go 32-0 in the regular season.
No chance.
It's almost impossible if you look at it through the numbers.
And if you look at the numbers and the offseason, I say here that we start to get Tom Brady rip columns in the fall when he gets hurt, because he's due to get hurt.
You're thinking this year's the year?
He's due to get hurt.
Well, he predicts it every year.
And sooner or later, I'm going to be right. But this year, if he skips part of the offseason program, that makes it, as Fred Kirsch would say, low-hanging fruit when they start ripping him, saying, well, maybe if he hadn't been gallivanting all over the world with Giselle, he wouldn't have gotten hurt in October.
Someday Brady's going to get hurt and the Lions are going to go to the Super Bowl and Andy Hart will be
all over
that.
All I want to say is Johnny Damon stinks, and I've been telling you for years he was going to. I don't care that he was knocking in 100 runs, scoring 100 runs, stealing 30 bases, hitting 20 home runs. He stinks, the chicken-armed pansy.
All right, RJ... doesn't say where he's from, but it says...
But if he checks the bottom of the email, it'll say where
he's from. I just did, and it's not there. It says, sup, dudes. Been listening too long to stay mad at you for Thursday's show. However, just want you to know that it was the worst show I've ever heard.
Thank you.
Yes, that show is including Paul's solo show.
Thank you.
Why?
Wow.
Why? Because at least with Paul's show, he kept saying, I'm sorry, this show sucks. And he didn't pretend it was good. It was funny in itself to laugh at his predicament. In my opinion, Eric's a good host, but he should never, ever
talk.
Be left to lead the comic relief. You sound like a nice guy, but you're not funny.
And he's not a nice guy.
I actually didn't mind Kyle. RJ says.
He lost me.
That's how bad the show was.
Because there, as his presence led to something reminiscent of Andy on Eric Crime, because everyone made fun of him pretty hard. That was kind of funny. Lori may be hot, but she was a boar fest, too.
Yes.
Welcome back. He says Fred and Andy. Well, Fred's not here today. You guys were missed. Anyway, he has a game he wants to play with us, if we have time, which we do.
We have time.
He's got a couple of things here. Would you rather, A.
Oh, I love these if it's.
Would you rather wear a pair of Andy's underwear after a fart, he has in quotes, or.
just for the record, they can't see your air quotes.
He wrote in air quotes in parentheses, so I'm reading
but
his email.
I'm saying they can't see it.
I'm doing it for your purposes. That's so why I had to say it.
And I'm guessing I can't play this game. Because I've worn my underwear after I've, quote, farted.
That's true.
Well, let's see what the
let's see what the listeners may have an opinion on it. So that's one, or wear a pair of Eric's after he assesses tight ends in the draft for a day. Hey, come on.
Oh, wow. I'll wear
that's
Eric's.
That's not right.
I'll wear my own. I do already.
Then he writes rather rhetorically, something to consider. Eric might be gay.
I don't want to know what's in Andy's. I just don't want to know.
Oh, God.
You don't want to see it.
Although I could just walk by his sink and look down.
I have to be careful because I was bleeped out for saying the word
finger
bang last week. So
finger bang.
What? What are you laughing at back there?
He doesn't care.
All right.
He doesn't understand that this is his job. I know it's fun and it's a joke and all, but isn't this your job? It's Gary's job. So when Gary,
is this your job?
But you're the producer.
I say
I'm responsible for what you say.
Yes.
I say Gary pays him under the table.
All right.
I still think he's an intern. Fred was right.
His second, would you rather be able to have sex with all playmates from the current year at your leisure?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'll take that.
Yeah. Of course. But then he's got two other scenarios. Would you rather? I'll say have sex with because I can't say the word bang on this show. A
you
walrus.
Can say bang, just not near finger.
Okay. Well, a walrus or. Brad Pitt, and something to consider, he says.
You lost me. We're on playmates.
Playmates. That's what he wrote in. He says.
So I'm going to pick a walrus over a.
No, either Brad Pitt or the walrus.
Brad Pitt.
And well, we know
it's not even close.
I think he's trying
to be honest.
Wait, so where are the playmates involved?
Right.
Yeah. That's.
Are they involved with Brad Pitt? Because if that's the case, I'll take that too.
That was
one for the team there.
Yeah.
And Eric would be happy to.
Eric would be like, there's playmates here?
Why are you just staring at the computer screen?
I'm reading because I'm trying to filter it because he wrote some things that I'm not sure I can say.
All right.
Boy, now I know how last show got so bad.
You're terrible.
Can't say the word oral, or can you?
Oh, come on. Just say it.
Can you?
I don't know.
You say it.
You can say oral. There's nothing wrong with that.
No? Okay.
We just said it 8 times.
So he's not stopping.
Okay, we'll just read the email.
So he says, would you rather date a woman who will do that,
okay,
but while doing it hums the tune of Sanford and Son, or a woman who talks dirty during sex but has the voice of Yosemite Sam?
Dirty.
The second one?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'd take the first. I don't even know what the theme to that show is. I got two versions coming in.
They don't sound the same, so. Mini Gary, punch that up. Sanford and Son. He's on it.
Are there any emails there from Fred Kirsch?
None. That's why I keep looking for. There's nothing. We were supposed to get the schedule before it's released at 2 o'clock. It's already 10 of, and we still don't have it.
Fred's semi-retired. He's probably home working on a gutter or doing something.
I don't know.
If this was 5 years ago, it had the schedule right here.
I know.
I'm telling you.
I know. It would have been a great way to end the
show.
If
he wasn't running a museum, we'd have the schedule right here.
Here it is. Sanford and Son.
She can hum that to her heart's delight.
Yeah. And you want the second one, Tom?
I like people to talk dirty to me.
As Yosemite Sam?
I can live with
that. That raises some questions.
Give me a Yosemite Sam voice in there, little Gary.
He'll have to work on that. In the meantime, Mike from Florida says, hey, guys, question regarding Ellis Howe. Oh, his subject line, by the way, is Bass Pro Wings Rock.
They suck.
They do. Well, they don't. They're in between. They're mezzemez.
They suck. Mezzemez means suck, they suck.
Yeah, they weren't great. They were overhyped. They were definitely
on
overhyped.
On a scale of 1 to 10, they're like
a half. This is Fred's movie. What was that movie that he wanted everyone to see and I saw and it was absolutely terrible?
Lost in Translation.
You like that movie, don't you?
I never saw it,
It's hideous. Awful.
And the wings were terrible.
They were overhyped. They were definitely
overhyped. Sucked.
Anyway, he says, hey, guys, a question regarding Ellis Hobbs. What are the chances that Hobbs and Kazier are still starting for the Patriots at the end of this season? I think Hobbs has regressed as a cornerback the last 2 years, lacks the instincts and the cover ability to be dependable. I feel the same way about Kazier, even though I actually have seen him a few good games protecting Brady, something I cannot really say about Hobbs and his play on the field. Also, do you think this year is possibly the last for Seymour with the Pats? As we mentioned before, he has played below his standards the past couple of seasons and is not playing at the level of an elite defensive lineman anymore. Do you feel that it is his injuries that prevent him from playing at that level, or is he just not motivated? Bill always seems to be great at letting a player go a year early before he hits his decline. Do you think this scenario is possible, or is it not likely to happen due to the monster contract he signed? Thanks,
I think
guys.
Seymour plays out his deal here due to the contract and due to the fact that my guess is he's going to have a bounce-back year, because when he gets all worked up and in a lather, he usually does. And I think he's motivated to show people he's not done, not fat, not happy. Ellis.
The roughest, toughest, he-man, stuffest hombre has ever crossed a Rio Grande.
No chance.
No
I have no interest in
no
that.
Just imagine
way.
That saying, bang no, me like
no,
a slut.
No, no.
I'd be limp as cooked spaghetti immediately, because that in no way is attractive, and I'm all set with that. Ellis Hobbs is going to be a starter because now you don't have starters as it is with him. Never mind. I just don't see them coming up with two corners that are better than he is right now. And I don't think he's very good. But you still got to have somebody that's better than him. Nick Kazier, if they draft Clady, then I don't think Nick Kazier's starting at the beginning of the year, never mind the end of the year. But if they don't draft a guy in the first round, then I think probably Nick Kazier's starting.
I'm hearing...
Yeah, Mini Gary's doing something behind the glass.
I'm hearing Cartman voices coming through the glass there. RJ wrote back to clarify on that second one with Brad Pitt and the Walrus. He was saying in order to have sex with all the playmates, in order to be granted that permission, you would have to first have sex with either
Brad Pitt
or
easy.
The Walrus.
Right.
I'll
Brad
do
Pitt
that right
and
now.
Then okay. The... Yeah.
Thanks for the clarification. Sorry about that, RJ.
Now the question is, when you have sex with Brad Pitt, which end?
Irrelevant.
You have to have the end goal in mind.
You have two great stories when you're done. You say, "Hey, I had sex with all the playmates. Oh, by the way, I had sex with Brad Pitt too." So you're the envy of both men and women.
Oh God.
And Eric.
Hey,
read the emails. Let's go. Let's finish up strong here. Yeah, I can't let you guys.
This guy runs out of gas.
I'm not running out of gas. I'm just trying to. I'm hoping that we're going to get the schedule.
But you can hope while reading.
No, we're not going to get it. Just
hope happens in your head and in your heart, not in your mouth. Now I know why you print the emails out, because you're incapable of reading off a computer monitor. What are you doing?
I'm screening first.
This guy's
you are the worst host we've ever had on this show, and that's saying a lot.
All right, earlier in the show we had that Rob from Indy wrote in, talking about the Colts.
And we all recall. We were here, we were listening. We don't need
now,
the review.
Someone might have just tuned in, though.
He must be the producer of that freaking Moment of Truth, where they come back from every commercial break and re-show the 5 minutes that was before the commercial break.
All right, the Colts show, he says, he wrote back in to say, it's on the Colts website. It's called The Heavyweights, and it's Will Wilford, Tariq Glenn, and Joe Stasniak.
Sounds like a terrible show.
He says, kind of gay, I know. That's
we should email into the show and see what Glenn has. Isn't he the one who... Seymour kicked in the face?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it is.
We should email that show and try and get a little war of words going.
The Heavyweights.
Well, when I work there, I'll...
I mean, that's a good... We know that players sell. We know that that's how people believe that the radio industry works.
I also
works.
Think it's boring. It's probably right. The most boring
and
show.
And it is.
Probably
and that's being, what he, isn't that what he said?
That's what he said. He said it's awful.
Needs somebody to liven
it
up.
It has no
a
personality.
Bit.
So right. they're not being themselves.
So you send me there and we'll be fine.
Well, he has a... He has
you guys
a,
ran out of gas without me last week.
I think you see why.
Because he's hoping we get the schedule, and apparently you have to hope with your mouth closed or something. Jesus. Read.
Anyway, he says he thinks that New England should take Ellis if he's there at 7 and trade down with Cincy or Carolina or lower if possible and try to grab Gerard Mayo. That's
okay.
That's his scenario.
So they're drafting Ellis and they're trading down?
No, either or.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Either
sure.
or.
What are you doing?
I can't believe it. I'm stunned.
Whatever made me think you were a good host?
I'm stunned over here. You're the host. Talk.
All right, enough with that. God almighty.
You have stage fright?
No, I don't have stage fright. I'm just annoyed with you guys.
Well, be annoyed in 5 minutes when you're done hosting this show.
All right. Fine. Fine. Chris in the Bronx writes in, because I guess he tuned in late. Says, hey, tuned in late today. So I'm sorry if you've already talked about it, but great job by you and Tom and on the Pats mock draft, which we just put up a few days ago. Had focused so much on defense that I was surprised to see Harry Douglas there, and I liked the pick. If the Pats could pull that off.
Where are we picking him?
What do we have him, like
fifth?
Fourth or fifth round?
You guys did a 7-round mock.
No, we did the Patriots picks.
Oh.
All of their 8 picks, and we had.
Now, if you had ever clicked on Patriots.com before, you know we do a couple of these every year before the draft.
Yeah, but you'd probably get lost trying to find the
That's true. You can't find
it.
That's
true. I don't know how to press shift F5 7 times.
But at least Chris is doing his job today.
Yeah. Laying down the law.
Chris in the Bronx also wants to know what we think about tight end Craig Stevens out of Cal.
Yeah.
Not impressed.
I don't love him. Cal didn't throw the ball much to their tight ends, but never was really overly impressed when watching him.
They're going to get a tight end, though, at some point in this draft. I think, what did we have? We had John Carlson in our...
Yeah, only because we thought he'd be available in the third round. I don't know if they'll take one that high, but maybe if a guy like Carlson, if it's someone they like. And I know we got some criticism for putting Colt McCoy or Colt Brennan in there.
Where'd you take him?
In round 6. We don't like him. We think the Patriots do. So if you have a problem...
Right, we're going by what we've heard.
I don't want anything to do with Colt Brennan.
Oh, I'm not that down on him. As a 6th, 7th round pick.
But I'm just saying...
He's Cliff Kingsbury. Sure, I'll give him a training camp to see what
he can
do.
I don't really care for... I mean, there's nothing I like about him that much, but the Patriots apparently like him. That's why we put him in there, because there's some kind of love affair with Gutierrez. If they had any quarterback with any kind of talent, one of those two would be off this roster so quick it would make your head spin.
Right.
All right, going to end the show today with a couple of female listeners who've written in. First one is Amy.
Hey, Amy.
Who says, you guys keep saying last week was bad. I want my last 2 hours back from today. I keep checking to see if my web stream has stopped, but it's just Eric's dead air.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's Amy. But now, she signs it off with a little X, which means it's a nice little kiss. So thanks, Amy. Appreciate that.
The X is the kiss?
Yeah, the little X. The little X.
The O is the hug?
O is the hug, yeah.
I've always wondered that. Because they say hugs and kisses, and doesn't go XO.
X is the kisses and hugs, I think, is how that goes.
He goes right.
Would the O be like a kiss? Like
no.
A mouth?
No, the O is a hug.
Wouldn't the X be like arms?
This just became the worst show ever.
The X is a kiss. Oh, my God. I have to explain it to the kid who went on vacation with his parents to Cancun.
And you've never kissed anyone.
Well. Oh, come on now. Now, finally, does Fred have brothers or sisters?
I don't know.
Let's hope not.
Well, I guess he does, because our final emailer is Janet, who doesn't say where she's from, but she says when Fred's not around, she says, you should have me, Fred's sister, guest host the show.
Does Fred have a sister?
I don't know,
but she's saying we have to find out about this.
Janet?
Yeah.
Janet Kirsch?
No, it's a different last name.
She could be married.
Yeah, so...
I guarantee you, if he has one, he's never told anyone.
I don't... And he's told a lot of stories about a lot of things.
Sister-in-law, maybe? Well, that possibility?
I've never heard much of any of that.
Yeah, I've never heard the name before.
Hmm.
We'll check into that, back to you.
Well, between now and Thursday's show, we're going to have the NFL schedule is going to come out. Bill Belichick's going to be talking tomorrow.
Now, you're still hoping that it comes out right in the next 20 seconds?
I've given up hope.
Do you want to just sit here and be silent for the show?
And we're going to have Tom Casale's...
A moment of silence for not getting the schedule.
And we're going to have Tom Casale's performance review from Frank in Winnipeg.
Yeah, if I can get a $200 raise, you'd probably double what Fred gave me.
That'd be $200 more than you got then, probably, right? So we'll see you on Thursday.
Go ahead. The door's right there. Bye-bye. Have fun. We will miss you.